You and I might spend about 70 to 80 years on this earth. Not long when you consider the time of eternity. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? Every day we get bombarded with the message to pursue the things of this world. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well. More, 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 and me, me, me. That's the prevailing message of our day. Our generation has a hijacked version of the American dream. But as Christians, we know deep down this distorted view of life isn't real life. We read what the Bible teaches, and we see how Jesus lived. Every day we face a choice, to pursue the me, me, me mindset of the American dream, or to pursue Christ. What if this generation was willing to trade in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ, to be traders? A trader is a new kind of missionary, not defined by geography. Where you live doesn't make you a missionary. The mission you're on makes you a missionary. Being a trader is a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. As a trader, we must choose daily to sacrifice and be intentional with our time, money, and skills. We can be like the Good Samaritan in the parable. When we're on the road of life and see someone in need, we choose to help. We follow Jesus' instructions to go and do likewise. A trader must hate injustice. Specific ways to bring the hope found in Jesus to desperate situations. It's easy to identify what you hate. What makes your heart break and your fists clench? A trader sees work as worship. Everything you do in life, including your job, can be an opportunity to worship the God who created you. Because God is glorified when we use our God-given passions and skills with excellence. And finally, a trader must act swiftly because the time is right now. The result of all this would be a generation of traders who are making choices with their time, money, and passions that are kingdom-focused and not self-focused, so that our short time here can have an eternal impact.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Trusting God, Friday, 3rd day of December, 2010. But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying you are my God, my future is in your hands. Psalm 31:14-15. Now there comes a time in life when you just have to trust God. And I don't mean with a blind faith, but a faith that's built on a solid foundation. A faith with roots that go deep into your being. A place where primal fears and apprehensions collide with logic and assumptions. You know the times I'm talking about. Everything in you, your best thinking, Now hear that. Not your worst thinking, your best thinking. It says run, hide, quit, fight, give up, give in, surrender. I mean, that's the logical solution to the situation. But then God shows up, and we have to make a choice. Are we going to run, hide, quit, fight, give in, give up, surrender? Or are we going to do what David did? Are we going to trust God? See, in this scripture, David had to make a choice, and he chose God. He might have been afraid, but he said, "But I am trusting you, O Lord. You are my God. My future is in your hands." It's a huge, huge statement. And the big idea behind that is, well, something that some people aren't ready or willing to accept. And that's that we're willing to hand over control of our life, as if we controlled it, to someone else, to the unseen God. And that's where a lot of people struggle. And that's where a lot of people run, hide, quit, fight, give in, give up, and surrender, because they aren't willing to trust God. David did. He said, "But I am trusting." And there's a good chance that he had advice that was contrary. There was probably a multitude of voices around him saying, "No, don't do that. You're out of your mind? You must be crazy. You don't have the background, the education, political clout. You don't have any of these things." But David said, "I am trusting God." He said, "I am trusting you, O Lord. You are my God. My future is in your hands." Now, his back was against the wall. All human hope was exhausted. There was no way out. But he said, "But I am trusting you, O Lord. You are my God. My future is in your hands." He was kind of saying, "God, this one's on you." Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not the coward's way out, to say, "God, this one's on you." No, the coward's way out is to run, hide, quit, fight, give in, give up, or surrender. Anybody can do that. That's easy. It takes a real man or a real woman to trust God. I want to encourage you today. Let go. All the voices around you telling you there's no hope, no way out, no solution, or possibly even all the voices inside of your head that are saying there's no help, no hope, and no solution. The world is encouraging you to run, hide, quit, fight, give in, give up, surrender. Friend, I'm going to encourage you today. Don't do it. Instead, I want you to be still. I want you to hear God's voice. I want you to see His amazing love and power for you. And I want you to say what David said. I want you to say this: "I am trusting you, O Lord. You are my God. My future is in your hands." Father, we thank you for this day. God, for all your blessings, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, I ask you today to help me to trust you more. In every situation, God, every time I want to run, hide, quit, fight, give in, give up, surrender. And those will probably all happen at least once before lunch. Just help me. Help me, God, to trust you more. I know I should trust you more. And I know that sometimes, despite my own best efforts, I'm weak in my faith. I need the power of your Spirit, God, to comfort me, to encourage me, to blow gently on any small ember of faith that you can find inside of me and fan it into a flame that would light this corner of the world. God, I ask you to ignite my heart so that I can trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to this fine Friday edition of Prosperity for God's People. So glad you could join us. Let's look at, well, can't really get a good look yet because the cash markets aren't open. They will be in about 4 minutes. This is all pretty obvious here. If you read the blog last night, and if you didn't, I still love you. E-mini futures trading in play daily market top. And I talked about David's forecast. Here we go down here. Keep in mind, price not only traded above our highest weekly trading zone today, it closed above. That would be here. Highest zone, market closed up here. Price should close tomorrow above 1213, 1214. It will mark an extremely rare occurrence. As you know, it is extremely rare that price closes the week outside of the weekly trading zones. One final thing to take note of. Today, December 2nd, that was yesterday, is the on-time day for a market top per our daily guest, David Williams, from PageTrader. His ability to forecast market turning points is uncanny, blah, blah, blah. This is a daily turning point and should be accurate plus or minus 1 unit of time. In this case, the unit is a day. It can't be a day early because yesterday was the on-time day. It may have been today. That was yesterday. But if we do, in fact, put in a higher high tomorrow, the opportunity to enter a position for a multi-day decline will be most compelling. Although not a weekly trading zone, keep a close eye on 1125/26. Right there. That's what this error is all about. Now, is that some magical kind of a number up there? No. Sometimes one of your greatest assets in trading, one of the greatest tools in your toolbox, is just the ability to look left. And of course, it's no great secret, I suppose, at this point, that the reason for this huge 30-minute bar were unemployment numbers that disappointed. So see how looking left just gave you an area? I'm not talking about an exact number. I'm talking about it gave you an area. And it's a number that I think we talked about a couple times over the last few days on the show. That 1125, 1126 area. Now, as the market is open, and Dow's down 29. I think that 33. S&P's down 3.5. I need you to hold on a second. I got a time off on one of these computers. Okay, that should do it. All right. Yeah. What do we got? Dow down 41, S&P down 4.75, a comp off by 11. All right. How bad were the numbers? Let's look at them really quick. I think I just lost data on this other computer, so maybe those numbers I gave you were off. I'll know here in a minute. But Friday, non-farm employment change, unemployment report. Let's see, the forecast was, well, let's just take a look. Okay, change in the number of employed people during the previous month, excluding the farming industry. Okay, so they expected us to grow by 143,000 jobs when we in fact lost 39,000. Not good. And the unemployment rate. Let's have a look at that one. Percentage of the total workforce that is unemployed and actively seeking employment during the previous month. Although it's generally viewed as a lagging indicator, the number of unemployed people is an important signal of overall economic health because consumer spending is highly correlated with labor market conditions. So they're expecting the unemployment rate to be steady at 9.6, and it actually came in at 9.8%. Now, I read another study this morning that says, got to understand with this unemployment thing, after a period of time, certain people fall off the map. They're not tracked anymore. Other people just get discouraged. But this study, and it was done, I believe, by Briefing.com, or at least they published the results of the study, says that 1 in 6 people, okay, that's 1 in 6 people over the age of 16 is either unemployed or underemployed, which gives us a realistic rate of unemployment much higher than what we're seeing here. And so the market reacted accordingly. The market reacted as it should. Now, we've watched the market all week shrug off some pretty bad news and just keep grinding higher. And cha-ching is how Leslie put it yesterday. The first part of last night's post was relatively bullish, but then I tried to temper it at the end just a bit for a number of obvious reasons, and of course the turning point that David has talked about. If you got short anywhere off of this yesterday, you had a nice trade. Took a little heat here, but when you're going to trade a multi-day decline, it tends to be pretty hard to do that with a 2-point stop. Now, if you're looking to take 10, 20, 30 points out of the market, if on an ordinary trade you're willing to risk 2 to make 2, I'm not saying you got to risk 10 to make 10 or 20 to make 20. No, I'm just saying that if you got in here right at the perfect time, a 2-point stop took you out. So, what if you didn't get in here? What if you got up this morning, you saw this, and then you saw this, and you go, oh my goodness, he was right. Turning point. Daily market top. I got to get in. So you dove in here at a support area. This was resistance, but now it's support. 12.13, 12.14. Okay? Let's say you dove in here at 12.14. You're now 4 points underwater. Okay? When you see something like this, potentially the worst time imaginable to get short. Unless you're willing to risk up here. When you see this type of a move, the market will probably retrace at least to some degree before it heads in the other direction. And again, this is a market that has been able to shrug off an awful lot of bad news of late. We're talking about a multi-day decline. Yesterday was the on-time day. Today's the one day late. And that may be it right there. Right there. That might be the high. But it might not. And we might get very close to it. So if one had the opportunity to get short up in this area here, that just might be a golden sort of an opportunity. We have no other news reports coming out today, correct? Or do we? What else we got? We got another high impact coming out in 23 minutes. Above 5.0 indicates industry expansion, below indicates contraction. It's a leading indicator of economic health. Businesses react quickly to market conditions, and their purchasing managers hold perhaps the most current and relevant insight into the company's view of the economy. Okay. All right, so, and that is red. High impact expected. So we'll watch to see how that comes out. Let's see what you're saying on the floor, because I got to refill my coffee cup, and then perhaps Bert will shuffle in and give us his insights. He's going to be scarce today, I think, because Leslie has the day off. She's going to a big wedding, one of those big family weekend kind of events. You know, back in the day, weddings used to a multi-day event. Nowadays, we get it done, and well, the ceremonies all are like 15 minutes. When I do it, I stretch it out to like 20, 25, so it's more memorable for the couple. But the festivities used to just literally go on for days and days. I think Leslie's going to one of those kind of, this is like a two-day event or something, so. Bert's manning the desk by himself. But if you need him, he is there, and he's a toll-free phone call away.
Once again, I'm in an outfit. 8 outfit, yeah, now I'm offered at 9, half, 9, even straight. There was paper offered at 9:20 last time we saw. I don't hear him showing right now, guys. 8, half, video now, I'm offered at 9,
yeah, I think
even.
That's a myth.
8:70 video now,
I'll be right
best
back.
Video now, guys. I'm an 8:70 video now, I'm offered at 9, even. 8:70 video now, it's your best video now. 9. Guys, 9 minutes are trading. Cooley's offering a 9:20. They need him. 9 minutes. Look at the guy in the base jacket bouncing up and down. See him? He's kind of leaning. All he's really trying to do is get his attention so that if 10 guys go by him, Cooley's already looking at him. You know what I mean? 8:70 minutes. 9 I'm offering at 9 minutes here now. 70 seat trade him at 8 half minutes now. It's your best video now. I'm offering at 9 minutes here now, guys. 8 half minutes now. It's your best video now. 8 half minutes now. I'm at 9. Guys, locals are short here right now up on high prints here now, guys. 8 half video now, and I'm off of that 9 video now. Once again, I'm going to 8 half video now, and I'm off of the 9. 8:70 video now, guys. Trading here now, guys. 8 half video now is your best video now. Once again, I'm going to 8 half video now is your best video now, guys. 8 half video now, and I'm off of that 9 half.
Nobody's taking them, though, okay?
8 half video now, 9 even straight. Now they buy the 20, so now we know we're right. 9 even video, 9 half. 9 even now, 20s and 30s trade. Now, don't get me wrong. We could be right, and we could be trading 16 even in a minute. You know what I mean? But we know right now we're right. 9 even now, 20 even now, 30s and 40s do trade. I'm a 9:20 even now. I'm off of that 9 half off here now, guys. I'm a 9:20 bid.
So we know. Big buyer came in. They got stuck selling. They weren't able to track any paper sellers, so they haven't been able to cover. So now the paper sellers are going to be up above limit offers.
9 even Stu trade here now, guys. I'm an 8:70 bid now. Trades as well here now, guys. 8:70 bid.
He's trying to push low. He's selling 18:70s through a 9 even bid right now.
8:70 bid here now is your best bid here now. 8:70 bid now. I'm off of that 9 even here now. Once again, I'm an 8:70 bid now is your best bid here now. I'm off of it.
Now he's talking to his clerk.
8:70 bid now. I'm off of that 9 even here now. Once again, I'm an 8:70 bid now. I'm off of that 9 even here now. 9's trading here now. 20s and 30s do trade. He's stuck. 9 even bid 9 half. 9 even bid now at 9 half. 9:20 off. Even traded half bid now. It's your best bid here now. I'm off of that 9 even here now. Once again, 8 half bid now. It's your best bid.
And if you look in Cooley's corner, there's a bunch of long faces.
8 half video now. You can tell. Just look at him. 8 half video now. I'm off of that 9 video now. Once again, I'm an 8 half video now. It's your best video now. I'm at 9.
None of them did any good on those, even the spreaders.
8 half video now. 9 start trading here now. Once again, 9 even Stu trade. I'm a 9 even video now. I'm off of the 9:20 here now. Once again, I'm a 9 even video now. It's your best video now. I'm off of the 9:20. 9 even bid now is your best bid. 20 trade, 30 trade.
Look at number one. Now he's talking to his guy again.
9:20 bid now, I'm off at a 9 half. 9:20 bid now is your best bid here now, I'm off at a 9 half.
Look at him again.
9:20 bid now, I'm off at a 9 half. 9:20 bid.
So see how aggressive offer he was down around 17, 17 half where he was coming in, you know, and he kept. Now we're up on high prints and look at him. He's just kind of, you know what I mean?
9 even.
He's getting out in the mini.
9 even bid now, I'm off at a 9 half straight. 20 bid now, I'm off. Half here now, guys. Light half off here now, guys. I'm a 9:20 bid now, I'm at 9 half. 9:20 bid now is your best bid here now, I'm off at 9 half off here now. Once again, I'm a 9:20 bid here now. 20 straight. 9 even bid now is your best bid here now. 9 even bid now is your best bid here now. I'm off at a 9 half here now, guys. 9 even straight trade. Guys, 9 even bid now is your best video now. I'm off of that 9 half off video now. Once again, 9 even bid half video now. 70s and 80s trade. Locals are all stuck short. 9 half video now is your best bid.
What's your name in here? Tommy, right?
9 half. Tommy J. 9 half bid now is your best video now. I'm off of that 0 even here now. Once again, I'm a 9 half bid now is your best bid. Half video now. I'm off of that 980 off video now. Once again, I'm a 9 half bid now is your best video now. 70s and 80s do trade here now. Once again.
And there was an interesting tidbit of info. He said, locals are stuck short. If he comes on today, I'll have him go into an explanation for you of what that really means. But if they're stuck short, how long are they going to hold on to their position? And when they have to unfold those positions, unravel themselves out of that trade, what's the market going to do? If you're short, what do you got to do to get out? When the pain becomes more than you can stand, what do you got to do? You got to buy. And if a bunch of people buy, what happens? Market goes up.
And even there, guys, 16 halves is what Shycorp came in and bought here now. Big time here, guys. High energy buyer came in there, guys, once again. 9.5 for the non-demarket at all. Even here now, once again, I'm a 9.5 for the non-demarket at all. 9.5 for the Nazi best for the non-demarket at 980 off here now. Once again, I'm a 9.5 for the now. Best fit for you here now, guys. I'm a 9.5 for the non-demarket at 980 here. Once again, 9.5 bid. 9.5 for the non. They all have their own thing. They all have their own thing. It's just like sitting at a big poker table. That's it. 9.5 trading out now, 20 bid and odds, your best video now, 9.20 bid and 9.5, 20 bid. Now, like I say, the only thing that changes it in terms of being like a big poker table is you can sit here and read these guys and tell that they're short, stuck, but then something, another outside influence can come in which can make it go in their favor. You know what I mean? Yeah, in a heartbeat. So,
9 even bid and odds, your best video now, and I'm off at a 9.20 off here now, once again, I'm even bid and odds, your best video now.
So the only thing you can do in terms of that is communicate all the information constantly, you know what I mean? So that you're not sitting back. If we've got a big paper seller coming and that's what they really want, you're not sitting back going, I'm not going to talk about that for some reason, you know what I mean? That's just, it would throw everybody out of whack, you know what I mean? So you just, all the information you have, you give and let people pull out what they want, you know what I mean? Filter it as necessary. Sometimes it'll be too much for people. That's too much for them, too bad. You know what I mean?
Guys, 9 even, but a 9 off of that, 9.5 off here now, once again, 9 even, Stu, trade them, an 8.70, but now is your best video now, and I'm off of that, 9 even here now, once again, I'm an 8.70s trade. 8.5 trading here now, 8.5 video now, and I'm off of that, 9 even here now, once again, I'm an 8.5 trading here now, guys, 8.20 video now, best bid.
Goldman looking now, Goldman's looking. He's a small seller, he just sold 8.30.
8.20 bid and odds, your best bid here now, and I'm off at 8.5 off here now, once again, I'm an 8.5 trading here now, guys, 8.5 bid here now, is your best bid here now, halves trading here now, guys, 8.20 bid.
All he's doing is showing offers and getting more short right now.
8.5 trading here now, guys, once again, number one, offering through the bid. 8.5s are trading here now, guys, once again, he's 8.70s and 8.80s to trade, 8.5 bid here now, and I'm off at 9 even here now, halves are trading here now, once again, 8.5 bid, your best bid. 8.5 bid here now is your best bid.
The guy in front of him, towards us, in front of the headset guy, is his son, B-O-R-F, is his dad, see him?
8.5 video now, and I'm off of that, 9 even here now, once again, 8.5 video now, very quiet here though right now, guys, 8.5 video now, and I'm off of that, 9. 8.5 video now is your best video now, and I'm off of that, 9 even here now. Very quiet trade. Paper's been quiet here now, guys. 8.5 video now, and I'm off of that, 9 even here now. Once again, 8.5 bid. 70s and 80s deep trade. Almost nicked it. 870s and 880s deep trade here now. Once again, I'm an 870 bid now, and I'm off of the 9. We are 870 bid. 70s trade, half video now, 8.5 video now, 8.5 video now, 8.5 video now. Bobby Gold doing some buying over there. That's Swiss Bank, American flag jacket. 8.5 video now is your best video now. Once again, I'm an 8.5 video now is your best video now, guys. 8.5 video now, half video now, and I'm off of that, 8.80 here now, guys. 8.5 video now is your best bid.
Alana, I think is her name.
8.5 video now, trade, 8.5 do trade, I'm an 8.20 bid.
Which one? She's not that big.
8.20 bid on him off at 8.5 off here now, guys. 8.20 bid on him off at 8.5. Halves trading here now. Once again, I'm off at 8.80 here now, guys. 8.5 bid on now is your best bid. Very quiet. 8.5 bid on now is your best bid on him off at 8.80. Halves are trading still number one and local sort here now, guys, from down below. 870 bid now with the 80s trade here now. I'm 870 bid now, and I'm off of that 9 bid here now. Once again, I'm an 8.5 bid here now. Is your best bid here now. 70s and 80s trade. 8.5 bid now. Is your best bid here now. And I'm off of that 9 bid here now. Once again, I'm an 8.5 bid now. Is your best bid here now. And I'm off of that 9 bid here now. Once again, I'm an 8.5 bid now. And I'm off of that 9. Halves trade 9 bid now. Halves trading local. nine half and as your best video now, and I'm off it'll even here now once again. I'm a nine half and as your best video now, and I'm off it'll even here now once again. I'm a nine half street. 920 video now is your best video now, and I'm off of that 9 half off for you now. Once again, I'm a 920 video now for you guys. I'm off of that 9 half off for you now. Once again, I'm a 920 video 9 half. 20 video now, 30s and 40s, dudes radio now, and I'm off of that 9 half off for you now. Once again, I'm a 920 video now, 30s and 40s, dudes radio. Very quiet radio right now for you guys. 9 half bid, paper to buy. Swiss banks trying to buy now, 9 half bid and now, half bid and now, guys, half bid here now, trades, local sell. 920 bid and on, I'm off of that, 970 off here now, once again, I'm a 920 bid and on, I'm off of that, 970 off here now, with the 9 halves trading here now, once again, I'm a 1920 bid. All quiet here now, all quiet here right now, guys, I'm a 920 bid and on, I'm off of the 980 with the halves trading here now, once again, 980 offer. 9 half for now, 80s trading local, only trade these 80s here now, halves trading as well, still stuck short here now, guys, 9 halves do trade, very quiet here right now, 9 halves do trade, 9 half for now, I'm off of that, 980 off here now, once again, half, here now, I'm off of that, 980 off here now, once again, I'm a 920, but now's your best bid. 920 bid and on, I'm off of that, 9 half off here now, 920s do trade, evens do trade, locals only.
But Vin's giving out a little more information than he normally gives out, almost as if he were training someone. Or perhaps he's being interviewed, I don't know. Watch the 1221 and a quarter. Now, you know I'm not a big market profile guy. I don't think it's a myth. Got nothing against it. In fact, some of you guys know Jonathan and were part of the that other thing for a while before it went away. That was like the weirdest 5 minutes of my life. But anyway, the value area high going into today based off yesterday's action, it's 1221 and a quarter. So you got to remember, this happened pre-market. So we're still in the first, you know, the first hour of the market. In fact, we market's been open, what, 21 minutes, 22 minutes now? So although we traded above that value area high, it hasn't been done in RTH, which is regular trading hours. So that said, and again, I'm not in a market profile guy, but I do have the ability to to put the numbers out there. So on the days that I remember it, I'll actually put them on the board for those of you who maybe don't have the expensive software that generates them, and you might like to have them. I'm going to put them on the blog for you on the days that I remember. Okay, so I'm not making any promises here, just that I'll put them up when I remember. Value area high was 21 and a quarter, 18 and a quarter, 15 and a quarter. Now, I'm sure different ones have different theories about, well, okay, that's all negated because we blew it out on the overnight, and others I know will say, no, it only matters what happens during regular trading hours. So the truth of the matter is we've hit the point of control, 1218 and a quarter. Value area high is at 21 and a quarter, kind of like right there. And the value area low is down at 1215 and a quarter, which would, now remember, if we close above this weekly trading zone at 1213, 1214, that is a rare occurrence, and that will be incredibly bullish for the markets, and that would probably, I don't know, well, we'll have to see how that affects David's call for daily market top. But so far, this one day late scenario is looking pretty good. So depending upon your risk tolerance, and that's really what it comes down to. I don't know, as soon as Bert can pop on here, Bert will probably remember how many points David was looking for on the decline. I personally don't recall, but an entry from even here at 1850, you've got a risk, put your stop over this high. That's a 10-point stop. Now, if you're looking to take 10, 20, 30 points out of the market, then the risk reward is acceptable. If you're going to put on a trade here with a stop up here, and then you're going to get all excited and jump out down here, then that's not good. That risk reward doesn't work. All right, we'll listen to Ben for a few more minutes, and then I'll try to round up Michael and Bert. Oh, and a reminder, I got to be out of here in a little over 1 hour. Hour and 15 minutes tops. I have a meeting to go to today, and Michael's already aware of it, and so he'll be carrying the show the latter part along with David and Bert and all the other guys. But I will have to personally leave in about an hour and 15 minutes. Maybe an hour and a half. Try to stretch it as long as I can. But when I leave, I have to close out the podcast. But the guys will continue on, and David will still be in. Gotcha, Bert. I know you are solo today, so just pop in as you have a chance. Just something about the sound of your voice. It calms us. It soothes us. We can think more clearly. Okay, Bert. All right, so this is a 50% retracement of the, from the high to the low. That's 50%. Kind of looking like it's holding, eh? The YMs, Dow E-mini futures, we blew out of the top, came back. Gap today on the intraday 5-minute chart, negligible. Look what happened, we came right up to that 21. Found resistance. Down we go. All of yesterday. Look at that 21. Once we got above it, support, support, support. Previous day, support, 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 support. That is just such a great guideline. Hey, Bert, you're too funny. Well, thank you, Dale. That's very encouraging. I appreciate that. Bless you too, brother. All right. What do we got on the 2100? We got anything? We got a report coming out in 2 minutes, a high impact report. So we really need to let that happen. But you can see there's a short. Well, still waiting for the DMT to show up, but the MA1 is red. Cycle is red. Envelope should turn red here shortly. One more minute to the report. I guess I could just turn on the see, now, how's that for a spin? Bad jobs report, right? Market sells off, as it should. Natural order of things. Means Fed stimulus will likely continue. Up go the markets. Breaking news, factory orders down 0.9% for October. What else we got? Live now, debt commission vote. I don't even know what that is.
I'd ask others to join in recognizing his service.
ISM 55 for November, 54.3 for October. That,
you know, over and over, John
positive.
Has demonstrated courage. I've seen it many, many times. And Senator Durbin, boy, you showed courage big time. And I will never forget your stepping up. And to Senator Coburn and Crapo, I watched your press conference yesterday.
Okay, this is just a mutual admiration club. Bunch of guys backslapping each other. Gold trading 1404, up $15 on the session. ISM, non-manufacturing index, 55 for November versus 54.3 for October. All right. Apparently the market likes it. So it must be good. Yeah, they were expecting 54.7, and it came in at 55. And as we said earlier, anything above 50 indicates expansion. Okay, so the market got a dose of good news.
See, see him? He is big-time bumming.
Oh, half video now, and I'm off of that one video now. Once again, I'm going to half video now. It's your best video now.
And the guy to our right of him as well is big-time bumming.
Oh, half video now, and I'm at one. Oh, half video. Just tried to buy Goldman's ones here, so I think he's short. Oh, absolute trade here now, guys. Oh, half video. J.P. Morgan comes in a light buyer. Local sells some more. They're short. Oh, half video now. It's your best video now, and I'm off of that one video now. Oh, half video. Half bid. Locals buy 070s. Oh, half bid here and on. I'm at one even. JP's the guy on the other side of this white jacket with the red collar. Black jacket, red collar, okay? Oh, it's trading here now, guys. Oh, even bid now. It's your best bid here and on. I'm up at it. Oh, half here now, guys. Locals just bought from Shycliffe. They bought 2070s. Oh, even bid now. It's your best bid here and on. I'm up at it. Oh, half. Oh, even Stu trade him a 970 bid now. Goldman just bought some 990s. Papers off for that. Oh, even. American flag jacket. 960 video now, 60 video now, 60 video now. Trades, locals sell some more. They're more short now, 960s trade. They need to find sellers. 9.5 bid. 9.5 bid and now's your best video now. And I'm off and I'm even here now once again. I'm a 9.5 bid and now's your best video now. And I'm off and I'm even here now once again. I'm a 19.5 bid. Very quiet. 9.5 bid and now I'm at 80. 80s trading local, oh, even off here now, guys, 9.5 and 0. So number one has this thing that he does, watch him. See how he's doing that when he's not liking his position? It's kind of like 970 bid and now is the best video now, and I'm off and 0, even here now, one. See him buying? Small. He just came in a light buy, real quiet about it, but his other stuff, he's like, ah, 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 you know what I mean? It's all a bluff. 970 bid now is your best bid now, and I'm off and 0. See him pulling on the shirt? He'll do it again. 970 bid now, and I'm always trade. Look at him, now he's talking to his clerk. There he pulls the shirt, cards to the face. Oh, even mid here now, and I'm off at it. Oh, half here, guys. Oh, even mid now is your best video now, and I'm off at it. Oh, half here now. So that guy in front of him will keep his position for him as well. Oh, even mid now is your best video now. Oh, even mid now, and I'm off at it. Oh, he trades a little. I've never actually seen him with a position on, but I know he is trading a little.
Oh, even been here now, and I'm offering it all half here now. Once again, I'm an oh, even been now, it's your best video now. I'm oh, even been now, half bid, 70s. Goldman's at one even. Let's see if they take him. At one even here now. Goldman's been a scale up seller here now. They buy the ones. Do you see who bought him? That guy in the blue jacket. One even straight here now, guys. Oh, 70 been now, it's your best video now. And I'm offering that one even here now. 70s fade, oh, half bid, your best bid. Oh, half bid here now, 83 here now, and I'm off of that one even here now, once again, I'm an 070 bid now, and I'm at one even here now, once again, I'm an 070 bid now, and I'm at one. He still needs to buy, 070 bid. 70 bid now, you can just tell by the look on his face, yeah. Oh, half bid here now, it's your best video now, Goldman's here coming in a small buyer. Oh, half bid here now, one straight here now, 70 bid now, one straight, one even bid now, one even bid now, one even bid now, and I'm off of that, 130 off here now, guys, one even bid now, and I'm off of that, 130, one even bid now, it's your best bid here now, and I'm off of that, 130, one even bid now, it's your best bid, 30 straight, one even bid now, and I'm off of that, half. One of the bit announced your best video now, and I'm off of that one half off here now. Once again, one of the bit announced, I'm off of that one half off here now, guys. One of the bit announced your best video now, and I'm off of that half here now. Once again, one of the bit announced your best video now, and I'm off of that half. One even straight, oh, half bit announced your best bid. Look at how quiet number one got back there as he's covering and no good, you know? Oh, half video now, and I'm at one. Oh, as do trade here now, and he sold more after the number. Oh, as do trade, I'm an oh, even bit now, and I'm off of it, oh, half here now, once again, 20s and 30s do trade here now, and I'm off of it, oh, half here now, once again, I'm an oh, even bit now, and I'm off of it, oh, half. Once again, I'm an oh, even bit now, it's your best video now, and I'm off of it, oh, half, oh, 20 off here now, guys, oh, even do trade here now, and I'm off of it, oh, 20. Oh, even minute now is your best video now, and I'm off at 020 here now. Once again, I'm an oh, even minute now, best bid for you here now. I'm oh, even minute now is your best video now, and I'm off at oh, half here. Once again, I'm an oh, even minute now is your best video now, and I'm off at oh, half. Once again, 20s and 30s do trade here now, and I'm off at oh, half here now. Once again, I'm an oh, 20 minute now is your best video now, and I'm off at oh, half here now. Once again, I'm an oh, 20 bid trade. Oh, even bidding on, I'm off at an 030 here now, guys. Once again, I'm an oh, even bidding on, best bid for you here, guys. Oh, even bidding on, I'm off at an 030. Oh, even Steve trade down on, I'm off at an 020 off here now, guys. Oh, even Steve trade down on, I'm a 970 bidding on, your best video now, and I'm off at an 0.
Why should I
970 bidding on, your best video now, and I'm at 0. 970 bid. Off of that, oh, even here now, once again, I'm a 970 bid now, it's your best video now, guys. I'm off of that, oh, even here now, once again, I'm a 970 bid at 020. Oh, even Steve Trade, he's not liking it, and neither is our guy in the blue. Oh, even Steve Trade here now, I'm a 970 bid now, I'm off of that, oh, 020 here now, guys. Oh, even Steve Trade, 9 halves straight, 20 bid now.
Well, now he's really bummed because he just bought 21 evens from Goldman.
920 bid, half bid, 70s and 80s trade. He got stuck both ways here now. 9 half bid and on, I'm off at it, oh. 980 bid and out, your best video now. Once again, I'm a 980 bid and on, I'm off at it, oh, even here now, guys. I'm a 980 bid and out, your best video now. I'm off at it, oh, even here now. Once again, I'm a 980 bid and on, I'm off at it, oh. 980 bid and out, your best video now. I'm off at it, oh, even here now. Once again, I'm a 980 bid and out, your best video now, guys. 80 video now, guys. Once again, I'm off at it, oh. 980 bid. 80 video now is your best video now, and I'm off at it, oh, even here now, once again, 980's trading, half video now is your best video now, once again, I'm a 9, half video now, and I'm off at it, oh.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Indeed, the green is the 21 period EMA. Yeah, you'll see that on practically every chart we run. I used to, I didn't use it on the 21, on the 2100 tick before. But then Burr convinced me to put it on one day, and I just left it on there. Sometimes, as you can see, it's beautiful. Support. And other times, it distracts from the MA1, but you got to learn to filter it on or out. Let's see. Data says, in my opinion, bigs are setting us up, gold is ripping up, which represents fear in the world, and yet the VIX, which is a fear index, is very low at 18.09. Okay, when you say, I get your comment, you said it in your opinion. So when you say in your opinion that the, you know, the institutions, big money, whoever it is that you refer to there, setting us up, in what way? Are you suggesting that the market is going to, in fact, trade higher or lower? Because gold moving up, I understand what that means. The VIX, the fear index, is, so it's like you got two things pointing in different directions. Oh, they're driving the market up to get out of their positions. Okay. All right, I follow you. All right. So ultimately, they want to get out, and so the position to be is short. I follow you. Okay. And we have the MA1 rolling over here on the 2100 tick. We're good on the cycle. We're good on the DMT. $12.20 and a quarter. Two-point target, two-point stop. It's a market if touched order. So all price has to do is touch 20 and a quarter, and we'll get filled at 12.20. If it pulls back. If it doesn't pull back, we don't get filled. It's already traded beyond what would have been our initial target there, 18 and a quarter. So now the entry. The MA1 here, the price is always reflected right here, 12.1985. Can't sell 85, best you can do is sell 1975, 12.1975. So I'm going to go cancel all, and I'm going to attempt to sell 12.1975. Had we taken the trade here in front of the report, well, we didn't have red on the DMT, so that opportunity, it never fully manifested. Here, we had everything in conjunction, we just didn't get a pullback. $12.44? Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to see that today, Davis. But it's possible. Well, I don't think it's possible today, but will we ultimately see $12.44? Yeah. Anytime soon? I don't think so. But again, that's just my opinion. Jim, I'm not going to chase it any farther, I don't think. Good question. It kind of dropped away. And then look at what's... See this? You got three bars here. See if we get a lower close here. there's kind of a wall right there. So if we get in here, even though we don't have support dodge printing, we can see that there is. So I'm just going to take my order off and just, oh, there goes the support dot. See how these three bars closed right at the exact same price? So you've got some support there. How much? Well, we'll find out. Now here's the pullback. Had we followed it down, our entry price would have been $12.18. We would have gotten filled if we had followed the MA1 down and left our order on, but we chose not to. One has to do with that. Another has to do with the fact that the cycle has just about run its course. Exactly. Yep, that's right, Jim.
Even through that number, locals bought from him around 9 o'clock, and then they bought some 21 even from him as well. Once again, Goldman with a scale up paper salaries looking now here right now, guys. Once again, 720 million on him off of that 7.5 off here now, guys. We are 20 million on him off of the half. 720 video now is your best video now, and I'm off of that 770 here now, guys. Once again, 7.5 here now, 20 million on him off of that 70. 720 bit an hour, kind of a quiet trade here now. 20 bit an hour, I'm off of that 7.5 off here now, guys. We are 20 bit an hour, and I'm off of the half. 720 bit an hour is your best video now, and I'm off of that 7.5. Kind of a quiet trade here now. Halves are trading here now, guys. 7.5 bit an hour trade. 20 bit an hour, I'm off of that 770 here now, guys. 7.5 bit an hour, 770s in, 780s do trade them. 7.5 bit an hour, I'm off of the 8. 7.5 and now's your best video now, and I'm off of that 8 video now. Once again, I'm a 17.5 video now, best bid for you here now, guys. 7.5 and now, and I'm off of that 8 even off here now, guys. We are quiet. 7.5 and now's your best video now, and I'm off of that 8 even here now. Halves are trading here now, guys. 720 video now, 30s in, 40s to trade. Off of that 7.5 off here now, once again, 20 bit an hour, best bid for you here now, 720 bit an hour, and I'm off of that 7.5 off here now, guys, once again, 20 straight, even bid, Goldman, 7 evens are trading here now, guys, 670 bit an hour, 7 evens just traded here now, guys, once again, even straight, 670 bid, guys, 670 bit an hour, Goldman just bought 17 evens here now, guys, 7 evens do trade, I'm off of that 20 off here now, once again, 70 bit an hour, I'm off of that 20 straight, 70 bit an hour.
Okay, remember earlier I said that this 12.21 and a quarter, again, not a market profile guy, so, but I know that a lot of people look at the number, and really that's all that's how relevant it is to me. I know a lot of people look at that number, 12.21 and a quarter. Now, I said that because we traded higher than that on the overnight, that, you know, some people are going to say, well, that number's now negated. But other people are going to go, no, no, no. It's only negated if it's traded above in real-time trading hours. Price traded 12.21 and a quarter. Remember I said that? I said, once the market's open and prices starts trading, watch 12.21 and a quarter to see if there's a reaction off of that price. So, market bottomed out at the weekly zone, 13.14, ran straight to 21 and a quarter, and now selling off. Can I give you any more information than that in regards to that? Nope. The value area low based on yesterday's action is 12.15 and a quarter. And see, that already got broken in regular trading hours. No, wait. This is exchange time. No, it didn't. I'll take that back. And their point of control is 18.25. And which, by the way, using different software, you can come up with various numbers for the high, the low, and the point of control. There's a number of different ways of computing it, so just because this morning it ran right to that number in reverse, now I'm not going to try to build a career on it, but I'm not opposed to keeping an eye on it. I watched it for a while, and then I didn't watch it for a while, and then I watched it for a while. Kind of like what David said the other day, you know, if something works some days and not other days, how much benefit it, I mean, I need something I can use every day, consistently. And so it may be that I just need to look at that with a new set of eyes. I'll keep an open mind. Okay, cycle bottoming out. Looks like we're MA1's trying to turn up. So maybe we go back to test this number. Yeah, kind of, Jim. They kind of believe that would be, well, what they're saying is that they will typically sell against that number, the value area high. But if price breaks through it and gets above it, then that's a confirmation that the up auction is continuing. I'm not sure I have the lingo down correct. But you know what, Jim? You can Google that thing up. Stottlemyre wrote a book years ago, back before I think we even had electronic trading. And, you know, there's just tons of information out there. All you got to do is Google it up, and you can learn as much about it as you would like, and how people trade it, and how people use it, and how people look at the numbers. But from the experience that I had with Jonathan in a market profile room was that they would look to sell that Bay Area high. What confirmation they needed to actually put on a position, I don't know. I'm not sure if they just put an order on blindly or not. I don't remember. It's just kind of cute that it did run right to the number today and then turned. All right. Although it looks like we're turning up here. I'd really rather be short this market. But if the indicators turn up and give us a shot, we'll take it. There's a beauty. There you go, Jim.
Half video now, and I'm off of that. Even off video now, guys. 7.5 for the day. 7.5 for the now is your best video now, and I'm off of that. Even video now, once again, we are half video now. Best fit for you. Half speed trade here now, guys. 7.20 video now, and I'm off of that. 7.5 off video now, once again. 20 video now, and I'm off of the half. 7.20 video now is your best video now, and I'm off of that. 4 for 20 straight, even video now, once again, even video now, and I'm off of the half here now, guys. We are 70 video now with the 20s and the 30s trading local. 79 I'm off of that, 7.5 off the NL once again, I'm in the bid now, 20s and 30s are trading local, 79 I'm off of that, 720, even speed trading on out once again, even speed trade local, 79 now, best bid for you, 20s trading local, 79.5. Even video now, 20s and 30s deep trading on out, I'm off of that, 7.5 off here now, once again, 70 now, I'm off of that, half here now, once again, 70 now, is your best video now, I'm off of that, half, 70 now, is your best video now, I'm off of that, 7.5 off here now, even trade, 670 bid. Guys, we are right on the low of the opening range here now, once again, trading right on the low of the opening range here now, 6.5 for the Nazi best video now, and I'm off of that, 7 even here now, once again, 6.5 for the now, and I'm off of that, 7. Halves are trading here now, 620 for the Nazi best video now, and I'm off of that, 6.5 off here now, once again, 6.5 for the now, and I'm off of that, 7 even Steve trade. Even video now is your best video now, and I'm off of that, 7.5 off here now, once again, 70 now, and I'm off of the half here now, once again, 20 now, 30s and 40s do trade. Off of that, 7.5 off here now, once again, 17 now is your best video now, 70 now, and I'm off of that, 7.5 off here now, once again, I'm even now, and I'm off of the half. 70 now is your best video now, 20s and 30s do trade. These are locals only.
Hey, he's talking about the opening range right here. It's where the market opened. They ran up. Right there. We hit the open, the opening price, and bounced. Six Z has really moved overnight. I mean, yesterday we were trading trading at our lowest weekly. We were trading down at 30.05/10. If we can put that in perspective. Hey, December 1st, we broke the lowest zone at 05.10. I was trying to crunch all this data. And now we're way up here. Tag that to the tick. You can see this pretty good. The support here that the zone held, and then this held, and that turned it down. We got one more zone for the week on the 6E above us. When Michael comes on, he can tell you what the equivalent of that is in ES points, but I could do the math, but I'll let him. Let me just say, it's a lot. Not crazy about a long position here, but if the indicators turn up, we'll take it. Yeah, Jim, you should have it in your email every, you should have it in your email every Monday morning prior to the open. The zones that you just saw on the, six-seat chart are the ones that were sent out Sunday night, early Monday morning. Should have had them in your inbox prior. Right here. And we've gone from the lowest weekly zone to this one. Still got one more overhead on the 6E. That's a huge way to travel. And we also do the numbers on the Dow. YM numbers, this is what they look like for the week. We're right at the top zone of the week.
Hey, you know, for the record.
Which record?
I was here at the open yesterday.
Were you?
And you weren't.
You were. That's true. That is true. Actually, I was here. I just wasn't prepared to be live on the radio.
Ah, okay.
For whatever that's worth.
Still filling up your coffee cup, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty early for you, so.
It is, man. Yeah, Jim, just look a little further down. There you go. All right, we were just talking about the 6E there, Michael, and how far it has traveled this week.
Yes.
From below the lowest zone, it just bounced off the second to the highest zone.
Yes, and that is a significant amount of points.
It's huge, yeah. I told him I would wait and let you do the math.
Okay, well, you're looking at just about the equivalent of 100 ES points.
Okay.
Actually, even a little more, 100, 125 or 30, something like that, ES points in a week. Nice range.
As I'm sure, you recall, I have to leave early today.
Yes. Yeah, you have to leave at 12:15, you said, right?
Yeah. 12:15? Oh, yeah,
you
I guess I misspoke. It's actually more like 11:15, 11:30.
Okay, all right.
About 45 all minutes right. from now. 45 minutes to, yeah. Yeah, about 45 minutes from now I need to go, so.
All right.
But I'm here for now.
Well, you should make me an organizer.
I'll do that
make
right
me
now.
An organizer so I can be helpful.
Okay, you, man. And Bert's working solo today.
Oh, he is he?
He is, because Leslie is out of the office. It would be appreciated
that,
to see the ES chart. Okay, I'll bring it right up.
That is no excuse. I still expect to see.
Yeah, I don't see why she can't, you know, just like log in from her cell phone. No, she's going to a wedding, big family affair. And, okay, we got the market turning up here on the ES. Indicators. Say we can take a long trade for many reasons discussed today, not crazy about a long trade. However, the entry is 12.1775.
Oops. I don't know if anybody recalls yesterday at the close of the day, I said watch watch the overnight. If it gets up to the 24 level, up there at 24, 75 or whatever, watch for it to drop down to the 12, 13, 12, 14 range by the open. I did say it did that yesterday. I don't know if anybody will back me up on it.
Okay.
All right. You're in.
Yeah, because I plugged the I hit the wrong price. Oh, well.
I see that. Okay, Doug. I thought it was going to happen. I was actually up there around that time frame, well, 2:30 to 5 or so. I was conversing with a fella in China. They are 12 hours different from us.
Is that message for you, Mike?
Buy at 15 between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
And I also said if it gets up to the 24, 25 area, I would say look for it to drop down to the 12, 13.
Well, on the blog last night we had written that if the market were to get up to 25, 26, that would be, you know, a good place to initiate a short for a number of reasons, previous high and the fact that David called for a market top. Yesterday was the on-time day, and today becomes the one day late. So,
Jim, my theory for that was overnight, we typically travel from zone to zone overnight, and we didn't have any established zones above us, but I figured if we got up to that 24 area, because that was the November high, if we got up there and we started to sell off, we would sell off all the way back down to prior zone, which was down at 13, 14. That was my basis. Crap. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything right now.
Hey guys, I drug my order up one tick to 1220 because I lost a tick to slip because I used a market if touched order. And so now we're just waiting for the drama to unfold. Quite frankly, this is one that could see the high. The high today in the regular trading hours has been 1221 and a half. Is that correct? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, 1221 and a half. Okay, I'm going to take most of my risk off of this trade just because I didn't even want to. I'm going to take some of it off.
Okay.
Thank you. Tom says he sent you an email. Michael, did you get it? That is the correct address, Tom.
I have to check it. I have to check it. I had an issue last night. I fell asleep.
Good for you. Michael hasn't slept since the 70s, folks, so...
I'll go check it right now. My son's room is the most comfortable room in the house, I think.
Why is that?
It's the warmest, and it is it is the warmest, and it's sort of tropical because he's got a humidifier in there. So, I love it.
I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Ben was talking like I've never heard him talk before. He's talking about, oh, this guy over here in the blue shirt, he's pulling on a watch when he pulls his shirt, he's doing this. I don't know if he was training somebody or if he was being interviewed, but it was really quite interesting as opposed to just hearing, you know, the cadence of the prices.
Mm-hmm.
He was really trying to explain to someone what was going on. If he's changing up how he does it, it was really quite interesting. It would have been really good to have video to see the guy in the blue shirt pulling on his shirt because he was nervous and didn't like his position. So, all right, we got resistance. We had 12.1975.
Okay, Tom, I read your email. I'll respond to you through the email. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in there. And I think that there was another one, too.
All right, Davis.
Well, you had a rough day. I was just reading about Will's corruption problems on his computer.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea, Jim.
Okay, so you are going to take off in... about a half an hour now.
Yeah.
And I'll do my best to keep everything going, and then maybe we can get David in here.
Yeah, you know what I'll do is I'll send him a text message here in a bit and ask him to, you know, possibly come on as I'm departing. And then I'll have to go ahead and close out the podcast because
yep.
You can't hit that button from there. But, of course, the charts will continue to flow, and you're an organizer, and I don't know that Bert will have any time, but I'll give him organizer status so that he can come in and answer any questions or point out anything of interest.
Okay. You know what? If you're gonna be taking off in a half an hour, let me go fill up my cup.
All right.
I'll be back in a couple of minutes, okay?
Alrighty. Alright, we know we got resistance here at 1975. We've already reduced our risk on the trade. So let's go. This way, if we trade back to the resistance, we got a chance to get out with profit. We can still take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ticks of profit if it goes our way. And our risk on the trade is 1. Is 1, 2. Take 2 ticks of risk on this thing. Dale, Michael missed your question, but when he comes back, I'll be sure and ask him. And we'll go over and we'll look at that, and he can point out a couple of trades for us over there. S&P's down 2.5, Dow's down 7.5. Gold is up $19. Silver's up 73 cents. Silver's at $29. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. DMT not participating at this point. We were blue when we took the trade, went to red. Trend strength line just shows there's no trend strength in either direction at the moment. Got a 5-tick target up to resistance, and we've reduced our risk to a 2-tick stop. We're just going to let it play itself out. And yes, we're attempting to get out at a spot where we could have already gotten out earlier, but we didn't. And we could take a break-even scratch right here. Yeah, I know, Davis. Bad job numbers, bad housing numbers. Spain, Ireland, Korea, Iran. Markets. And we're long the market, I know. Yeah. And the market trades higher. All right, there we go. There's the stock. All right. Okay, we entered here. We could have gotten out here with some ticks. We didn't. We held out. We reduced our stop to 2 ticks. Our 2-tick stop got hit. And now the market may head south. So we got here. That 21 holding price down. Stopped it there, there, there. Since market open, we've had one close above the 21 EMA, and that was immediately reversed on the next 5-minute candle. Wow, 1,200 people let go in a conference call. That's a mass firing. I've never heard of one that's huge. 1,400. Wow. Davis says he has a friend who's been a drug rep for many years, making good money. And yesterday he and 1,400 other reps were told their services were no longer needed in a conference call. And when you tighten up your stop to reduce your risk, you run the risk of this happening here. We got stopped out, I think, to the tick, and now price is going to continue up. Look at that. And that's the truth about trading. Here we go, 1950, right to the target we had established. Keep in mind, we drug the target down to 1950, which is one tick below the dynamic resistance at 1975. But price is only traded to 1950. So when it touched 50, we might have got filled, we might not. In order to guarantee a fill, price has to trade through 1950. In other words, price would actually need to touch 1975. That didn't happen. So I don't want you to be... I don't want you to misunderstand that very critical and important thing, okay? Yeah, there's a queue, and yeah, there's people in line, and somebody at the head of the line got filled. I understand all of that, but you know what, I can put my order on 7 days ahead of time, and somehow I'm always the guy at the back of the line that doesn't get filled. Which is why I use Market of Touch on entry, and potentially I should use it on exit as well. Because with an exit at 19.5, there's no guarantee of being filled. In fact, there's a very high likelihood you won't be filled at 1950 unless price goes to 1975. And that's far more frustrating than getting stopped out for 2 ticks. To have 5 ticks under your belt and end up losing them because you couldn't get out. Now keep in mind, early in the trade we had the opportunity to get out at the same spot. But we didn't. We made a decision not to. No looking back with regret. No woulda, coulda, shoulda. Just, we made a decision. Now we live with the results of the decision and go on to the next trade. Yeah, on a Market of Touch, Jim, you're guaranteed to fill as soon as it touches that price. But you'll typically pay a tick of slip. So if I had an exit at 1950, Market of Touch, I'd probably get filled at 19.25. If I have a Market of Touch at 1975, I'll get filled at 19.5, which is where I'm at now. And in order for it to get to 1975, it's got to trade through 1950. So in that instance, it becomes kind of the same thing. But yes, you're correct. On a Market of Touch, you will get, see, by putting it at 1950, I'm definitely going to get filled at 1950 if price touches 1975. If there's one print at 1975, I'm guaranteed a fill at 1950. If I try to exit Market of Touch at 1950, I'd already be out, but I would probably be out at 19.25. So that's something to keep in mind if you're trading Market of Touch. On almost every trade, you're going to pay one tick of slip. Okay, now we just touched 75, so that order at 1950, were we still in it, which we aren't, would have got filled. So, are you telling me that you're short, Jim? Yeah, you know, Doug, it depends on the simulator that you're on. Some are very realistic, and others are a fantasy land. Back in the day, simulators would always fill you if price was touched, even if it wasn't a Market of Touched order. And that lulled people into a false sense of security, because when they went live, they found out that, oh my goodness, why isn't it filling? It always filled on the simulator. So, nowadays, most of the simulators are designed to match up to actual order flow. So the results you get on a simulator today are much closer to real trading than it used to be. I mean, when it was first made available that you could have a simulator, you could sim trade, you used to have to sim trade with delayed data, then you could sim trade with live data. But they weren't matching up the order flow. And today, almost all simulators match up order flow. There's Bert out there buying beans. Let's go look at beans. Let's go see what happened with the beans. Looks like I'm short two bean contracts. Doug, from as far as the DT Pro Simulator goes, I found that to be very accurate, personally. Bert trades beans for me based on the S&P Messenger Pro soybean product, and based on what we're seeing here, we're short two contracts. Now my indicators would have had me long here, and that's the difference between what I see with my eyes and what the Messenger Pro sees and how it calculates spots in the market. Okay. I don't have anything on the beans that would have shown me a short position here, other than potentially, you know, with a stop up here at 96, but I don't. Well, we'll just see what when Bert comes on, or David, we'll ask them what the exact trade was. Because when Bert has my Messenger Pro window, I can't see it. All right, let's go back to something you have an interest in. Okay, we broke through that trend line. We hit 20. We got in at 18. So the 2-point target, 2-point stop. Okay, that played out again. But we reduced our risk. We got stopped out for two ticks. And Jim, I never heard back from you if you were short or not at 18. I couldn't figure out if you were trying to say you were short there. Okay, what was it that got you short? Are you on a different time frame other than the 2100 tick? if you shorted 1950 with a 2-point stop, I mean, you're still in the trade. I'm just curious what the basis for the trade was. Okay, so you traded against the trend line. Okay. So you had trend line, you had resistance. Okay. Well, and it may turn and go in your favor. If you're still in it. That's a big cup Michael's got. Anyone have that 15 buy operating? You know, Eve, you'll have to ask Michael about that. I'm not even sure. I'm not sure what the deal is on that. I know you mentioned it earlier and he was answering you, but I'll be honest, I wasn't listening. Okay, Jim. Get anywhere near this overnight high. Well, I'll let David talk you through that when he comes on. And I'm sure he'll bring it up. Because yesterday was the on-time day, today's the one day late. And David will talk to you about this on today, I'm sure. But the one day late is the best time to trade the daily turning point calendar. Because it can't be early, and there's no question if it's going to be late. I mean, today's the day. Now, did trading this price on Globex negate the turning point? I don't think so, because he doesn't really include that. He doesn't include the overnight, I don't think. It might have stopped him out if he was already in his position, but as far as negating the turning point, it shouldn't. All right, looks like that bean order got stopped. Or either we took a point here, or we're still short one. We got stopped out on one, and we're still short one. See, my indicators have this thing going up. Yeah, Jim, when everything's blue, it is hard for me to justify putting on a short. Hello, Mike.
Okay, I'm back. I don't think I made too much noise, did I?
Nice. You did really good.
Did anybody address any questions to me?
Eve had a question about...
the overnight?
About the 12:15? Or about the 15? I don't know. Let me have a look here. Let's see what she said. She said
I had a buy at 15 between 7 and 10.
Did you?
I don't recall saying I had a buy at 15 between. I think I said between 7 and 10 is a good time to trade. It's when the Asian markets open up.
Okay.
And I don't think I said I had a buy between 7 and 10 because it was 4 when it was all happening. That said, I did say if it gets up to the 24-25 area and it starts to look weak, we should go down to 12-13, 12-14. I did say that. And Doug backed me up on that at one point.
Yeah.
And then I was...
Well, David has a... and he wants to know, would you buy 12-15? Well, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. Would I buy 12-15? Just, I wouldn't. Not right now. I don't know. I have no reason to buy it right now. You know, that may be one of David's things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's one of his daily numbers or anything. I have nothing at 12-15. If we were to pull down to 12-15 and the indicators turned around and signaled a long position at 12-15, I would be willing to buy it. But if you're asking that question from some other, you know, big picture perspective, I don't personally have anything that would just tell me I want to be long at 12-15.
Right, that's my thought as well. You know, and I don't think Mike said anything about it recently. But. All right, it is 11:13 my time. I know you have to take off relatively soon here.
Oh, you know what, Eve? Perhaps you were referring to this, Eve. This value area low at 12.15 1/4. Yeah, JD, thanks for that. I just thought of the same thing. I had pointed this out earlier in the day. I said I'm not a market profile guy, blah, blah, but 12.21 1/4 is a number they're looking for, and that's what we ran up to. Once the regular trading hours began, we ran right to 12.21 1/4 and sold off. So the reverse of that would be buying 12.15 1/4. So if that's what you're referring to, Eve, then yeah, I'm going to say, well, the thing is, in real trading hours, we've not touched that price. So yeah, those who follow market profile would tend to come in as buyers at 12.15 1/4. So I'm not one of those guys, but yeah, they're okay. I'm glad we got your question answered for you. Yeah, that number's valid. It hasn't been touched in this session. And that's part of the terminology that they use. They would say, you know, that it's that it hasn't been touched. Okay. But the 21 1/4, that was right on the money. Now, the previous couple days, I watched it. The market opened so far above the numbers that they had that the numbers they had never even came into play. So it's one of those situations where some days it can be a benefit, but like when the market opens 10 points higher than the value area high, then all of those numbers become meaningless. Now, they're you can generate the numbers intraday, but... Again, not a market profile guy. All right, Michael, I'm going to send David a text.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to fill up my coffee cup. I'm going to give you the charts. I'm not going to take off right this second. I'll pop back in and see. I am going to go fill up my coffee cup right now.
Okay.
And then I'll pop back in and say goodbye. And I'm going to send David a text.
Here, I will. Whoa. What just happened there? Oh, okay. You just shoved it over to me.
I did.
Good. I was going to say. I'll take the charts.
Thank you very much.
I have them. All right, guys, you see my 6E is going on the side here. Okay. I think Dwayne left his mic on. That's not my dog. My dog is sound asleep over there. My plan for the day. I'll be here till 12:30. All right, 12:30, and then I'll try to come back in the afternoon for the last hour. But in the last hour, I will only be here until 3:45. All right. Now, over here on the gosh, I hate it when I do that. On the 2100, we had pretty much everything set up for a long trade here, except it was going right into the resistance tops. So nothing to be taken there. Same thing over here on the short side. Over here there was a decent long trade set up. This was a little pre-market though, at 9:18. Okay, the 6E I have running over here. The cycle is oversold, so I'm looking for a long opportunity here. Okay, away from these support dots. Dale, you had sent me an email, and I just went to reply to it on another computer, and it choked. But I will respond to it tonight at some point. I'm going to stick the 6E over here so you guys can follow me with it if you want. You guys like having the Dom up there? Is that bugging? Phil, Dwayne's not here right now. You're trying to watch the video, how to install and user indicators on your website, but it doesn't work. Please email the video to me. That is something, you know what, you can also ask Burke for that. Burke created the video. Yeah, I know. The ES has been tough lately. And the 6E has been pretty active, but well, let's just see what it does here. Eve, the 6E is a euro currency. It is on the CME. Okay. Different places call it different things. NinjaTrader calls it a 6E. DT Pro calls it a 6E. TradeStation calls it the EC. Different places call it different things. The value per tick is the same as a tick on the ES. Because it's a currency, the commission is usually a little more. Okay? Because it's a currency, the commission is usually a little more. It's usually better moving. At least lately, it moves around better than the ES does. Okay, that's why when the ES is going sideways and nothing's going on, I like to go with markets that are actually moving. Gold, crude, soybeans. Referred to it as the EC for the longest time, Jim. Jim was saying, I don't know why everyone. Yeah, TradeStation says EC and it just says 6E. I don't know why they do it differently. But I am a very long time TradeStation user. TradeStation chart user, I'll say. And so I was stuck on the EC thing. And you see everything is oversold here. The cycle is oversold. So what I'm hoping we'll come up to here is an opportunity to go long. Get a few ticks out of a long trade. But time will tell. Okay. Yeesh. And here it comes. All right, I'm going to jump in right here. Right there. I am long right there at 1381. I'm going to put my stop down here at 77. 76. Okay. See what happens with it. ES is starting to tank a little bit here, so does not bode well for this long trade on the 6E on the euro. Trade is on and the risk is on. So I lost 5 ticks. I had 3 wide, so I lost 5 ticks on the trade. All right. Ward, I was long. I like the short side better than the long side here. But I agree. I like the short side better than the long side, but the cycle's not going to let us do it. know, I want the cycle to be out of this oversold area here. I know what you meant, Jim. Oops. I don't know what the markets are actually doing right now. Let me just take a look. Everything went short. Yeah, I agree. The short looks nice here. Alright, guys, let me just check something here. Hey, David's in.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Struggling to
I'm
keep
okay.
this. You're trying to keep the show running here, and you're doing a wonderful job.
I am like a one-armed wallpaper hanger right now.
Well, no, what I like what you're doing is you're putting on real trades, and you're... That's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going to put another one on right now, as a matter of fact. I don't like, honestly, logically, I don't like the long side right here. I'm late putting this trade on.
Is this for the S&P 500?
No, this is for the Euro.
Oh, for the Euro. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. I'm a little late putting this trade on. I should have put it on down here.
Well, that's why they call it the Euro, because Euro a little late.
Yeah, I was. I'm off by a tick. Thank you for bringing the humor again today, David.
We need
I'm
humor
off
on
by
this
a
program.
Tick on the trade.
Okay.
I'm off by a tick on the trade.
Okay.
I should be, yeah, I'm long right now from 33.79. I should have been long at 33.78. I hope to see it get up here to 33.87. We should have some resistance up there, but we are in a choppy spot right here.
Mm-hmm. Is this the trade that I'm seeing on your screen right now?
Yes.
Is that the euro? Okay.
Yeah, the one on the left is the euro.
And the one on the left.
Yeah. The ES is just, it's been having such a tough time lately.
Well, it's been in a very powerful uptrend for the last couple of days, and now, and it's, I think you would agree, this is not unusual behavior after two very powerful days to have a very narrow range, perhaps, for the day.
Right.
Where it's very quiet.
Consolidation day.
Yeah, consolidation.
That is not uncommon.
No, not at all. Not in the least.
Oops, I didn't put my risk on there.
And on days like this, if I can throw an idea in that during consolidation periods where the markets are very quiet, and if, let's say, somebody is a new trader, maybe they don't, you know, they haven't got the experience yet of being in the markets, not just simulating, but being in the markets. On these quiet days, this is not a bad day to practice live trading, to be in a quiet market, get your feet wet, so to speak, get in the market, take a position, you know, using whatever tools you have, whether it's Michael Bork's indicators or whether you're basing it off of somebody else's advice, your own system. But it allows you to be in the market and to grow in the ability to withstand the live real trade environment, which is dramatically different than the simulated environment. So that's something, an idea that for people to consider in quiet markets like this, to take trades and to practice. I think it's much more difficult to get your feet wet in a very volatile and high-speed market than it is in something like today. And you can very quickly ramp up from a quiet market to a moderate day and then just really get in tune with who you are in the market, because you are somebody in the market. You may not know who yet, but that's part of what this is all about, is figuring out who you are. And it's not even figuring out as much as it is allowing yourself to find out who you are. It's not like you have to sit down and figure it. You just find out who you are in the market, and then you can work with that. And over time, you get to a point where you're very comfortable with what you're doing and who you are in the market. And then you can be a happy trader. You can be somebody who's not tormented by it. You can be somebody who knows what they're looking for, and simply sits down and waits for those opportunities to happen and takes advantage of them and manages the risk, manages the reward. Many people are, I just want to make one more brief comment, many people are concerned about the risk side of the market, and you should be, because that's, as we've spoken about, so important, and it is one of your big edges to be able to manage the risk. But the other side is that many people don't know what to do when they have a reward, when the market actually goes in their favor and that begins to show them a profit. They don't really have the skills yet to know what to do with that. How long do they hold? Should they hold for a target? Do they know a target? On and on. It's quite a bit to learn, but once you get past all that, you can be very comfortable and very at ease in trading in the markets and enjoying it from day to day. Go ahead, Michael. I know you have a trade on, and I want
you. Oh, no, the trade, I hit my risk on the trade, so I'm out of the trade.
Okay. Okay.
I lost 5 ticks on that one. 6 ticks, actually.
Okay. Do you want to show people what the proper thing to do after a loss? Just, do you have anything metallic or something that you can just throw against the wall? I mean, after all the stuff we've talked about how it should just be taken in stride. I mean, I want to hear something. I want to hear it hit the wall, and I want to hit the floor, and then kind of rattle around a little bit.
No, I'm good. Okay.
I don't have to throw anything. We'll get Dwayne to get a sound effect for that. And we're really just joking. I hope people understand. We're really just joking about that, because you don't need to be upset about anything that happens in the market. Because you've managed your risk, you know what your risk is. Michael just took advantage of his edge, which is that if he doesn't like the setup, he gets out. It's just that simple. And that's what the edge is the ability to get out, not to be stuck in the position. Like a man falling off a cliff doesn't have the opportunity to go back to the top of the cliff. He's falling. He's on the whole program at that point. And many investments leave you in that position, but in trading we have the superior edge of being able to get out of the market anywhere we want to and at any time under most conditions. That's a huge edge. So he just took advantage of that edge. So if the market continues to go down, I suppose was down is the bad, right? I mean, you were looking for a long position there.
In that particular case,
if the market continues to go down, the EU, what we're talking about now, did I say that right? The EU, what's it called?
The 6E, the Euro, the...
The Euro, I'm sorry, yeah, the Euro. If that continues to go down, then he has protected himself from that further decline, and whatever gains Michael has in trading the Euro at this point in the month, he's holding on to those gains. He's not just, you know, for lack of a better word, he's not just pissing them away. He's just not giving it all back to the market because he's managing the downside. So don't look at the risk in trading as such a bad thing or a punishment that you have to take a position off. It's an advantage that you have to protect your earlier profits from further decay. And I promise you that at the end of the month, if you have a winning month and you go through your trades and keep a little diary on them, which is a very, very good thing to do. We don't talk about that a lot, but I do that, and I'm sure several others do. You just keep an idea of what you were looking at the time and the wins and the losses, et cetera. At the end of the month, if you have, just as an example, $3,000 in gains on the end of that month, you can go through your statement and you can very easily find that if you would have in several cases not taken advantage of that beautiful ability, that edge to protect your position by getting out, by protecting your remaining capital, you'll find that there's several of those in the month that you were stopped out, but if you didn't do that, the market went much further, and that $3,000 might have only been $1,000 or less had you just let it run. So suddenly you get the idea when you're looking at your statement, you know, that $3,000 is there precisely because in these three instances, I managed the risk. Maybe in these other cases, I managed it and it reversed and it went back up, but in these three cases, I wouldn't even have a profit this month if I didn't do what in this case, what Michael just did in front of us, which is to manage the risk. That one thing could end up, the euro could continue to go down, and he would be very upset later and lose money because of that. So this really brought it home for me. The reason I brought this up is because I've seen this so many times in my own trading. For whatever the dollar amount is at the end of the month in the statement, I can look back and find where had I not managed my risk, oh, my God, this thing would have been, I wouldn't have had any of that gain. And that's when I really fell in love with, gosh, that what a beautiful edge that is to be able to get out and protect that money. Because here I am at the end of the month holding a statement with that money because I protected it. I didn't let it run. And, yes, there's other times when the market's going to reverse right after you get out and it goes up and you would have been right. But I would rather have that and be able to protect myself from the times that it would wipe out my whole trading profit for the month. That's how it really comes home to you, is when you see that statement and you go back over your trades and you find out that had you not done the right thing on just two or three occasions in a whole month, that whole profit potentially would have been gone. If anything will get that point home to you, that will bring it home, because you're holding on to that $3,000 in your hands right now and you're saying, you know, that was some pretty wise moves for me getting out there. At the time, I didn't feel it. It hurt. But look at me now. I've got $3,000 at the end of the month, and I know I wouldn't have if I didn't do that. That will send that message home if you'll take the trouble to do that. Go ahead, Michael. I think you were going to say something.
Oh, no. I was just going to agree with you. Okay. In this particular case, this is the weekly trading zone on the 6E that Dwayne had put together. I was trading right in the middle of it. I probably shouldn't have been doing that. Obviously, I shouldn't have been doing that. I took the trade, just for those of you who were watching or who didn't notice, I took the trade right here at 33.79, a tick away from where I wanted to take it. My risk was right down here. So if I wouldn't have had the stop on or utilized the risk, then obviously I would have lost another 10 ticks there.
Right.
Which is, you know, in this case, that would have been another $375. And that's, that's something. So
that is definitely something.
So we're just waiting here. We're waiting. On the 2100 here on the ES right now, we don't have a full cycle, so I'm not going to suggest taking any shorts here. All right? And it may set up a long here, but it's a long way from that right now. I can jump over to some other markets. Let's look at the 10K and see if we can get a better feel for the overall market condition right now. right here from the open. We were going up. We put in a higher pivot. We came back down. Once we came back down and bounced off the 21 EMA and closed up above the MA1, we should have put in a higher pivot without closing back down below it, which we did. We came down again, drew down a little bit more here, closed up above right here. Should have put in a higher pivot before closing down below it again, and we did. Came back down again, you see, and we closed above it over here. We started getting above it. Now, we should have put in a higher pivot before we closed back down below the MA1. We did not do that. So right here at 10:44, this bar right here is the one that signified that we were in chop. Right. So from 10:44, where are we right now? It's about an hour later. We're still in the same chop. We haven't put in a higher pivot since then, and we haven't put in a lower pivot since then. So an hour ago, it suggested we were in chop in here. Right on the on the ES. That is my overall look at the ES anyway. If we look at gold and all these other markets, I think, you know.
Put up gold. Let's take a quick, if you will, Michael.
Okay. Here's
put up gold for a second. On the daily chart, let me just take a look with you here.
Let me flip to a daily. Here we go. This is gold on the daily.
We've had a nice bounce up off that daily bottom that we talked about a few weeks ago. And they've had a pretty good move off that low. And just for giggles, I just wanted to mention that that same tool is calling for, this is Reflected Wave, is calling for a top on December 6th in gold, another daily top. We had called for a bottom in gold on, I think, November 17th. And the bottom actually came one day early on the 16th, and we've moved up substantially from there. I don't know what the dollar figure is, but they traded from that low, maybe, is it $13.38 or somewhere around there, $13.29, something like that, all the way up to currently $14.06, which is that a big move, Michael, in gold?
That's a significant move in gold.
It was
13.30 up to 14.07, right? So, what is that?
Okay.
14.07. Roughly $77 move, and it's $100 per contract per dollar on the moves. So it's a $7,700 move.
Wow.
For one contract.
So that's a substantial move, and now. As long as we do not close above 14.24, which is the recent high made on the November 9th, the next daily turning point for the gold market, and I do want to remind people that we're not, I'm talking about PageTrader now, we don't specialize in gold. This is just, we're just commenting on it just because it's talked about on the show. And we've done a little bit of work on it, and maybe about a month back or so, we had on the show forecast that gold would continue up with the usual reactions on the downside into January or mid-January, right around that time. There's a relatively easy, for lack of a better word, cycle that would keep the market bullish into that time. Now, having said that, a person that went long in gold at the wrong place would have to sit through that whole drawdown that led into November 16th bottom. So this is not for the faint of heart if you're going to take advice like that. But generally, the trend, we believe, will continue to be up into early to mid-January. And so far, this advance off of the bottom that we talked about on November 17th has confirmed that. And then we have, Michael, another top that would be due, or at least a place to look for a top on December 6th, which is, I believe, Monday. So keep an eye out on that. That's the on-time day for a top.
On December 6th.
On December 6th. It's the, just for your information, it's the corollary to the November 17th bottom. It's the same cycle. So
okay.
It will be...
We should look for another move down, probably down toward the November 17th area.
I don't know. I don't know where. I do know that we would look for a multi-day reaction off of that high. As long as we don't close above the recent highs, the reaction should be pretty good. It would be, at the very least, certainly tradable, Michael, with your work, with the indicators, it would be tradable on the downside, for sure. And so we're in the 1 day early, so we want to, you know, that's our little warning signal, that's to start watching for that. Today is a pretty strong up day, so it'll probably be into December 6th, which again is Monday. And then we'll take a look at that, and there might be a nice trade setup with your indicator setting up, maybe perhaps something from our work, and we can make some money. We can, you know, it's the next opportunity. We don't have to worry about what, you know, being... you know, wanting to get into the market every 5 minutes necessarily, because we know we have bigger setups coming, and the emergence of a new trend can be very good area to start getting short or getting long, as in the case of November 17th getting long, and in this case December 6th, and starting to place or position yourself for the surprises on the downside, the moves on the downside. So it should be fun on December 6th. We'll take a look at that.
Yeah, we'll look together at it again next week.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it again next week and see where we are. I know, that list, it's just fun. You just have to love the markets.
Definitely.
There's enough there to keep anyone busy. That's
there
sure.
Really is. There really is. There's enough there to keep you busy, and there's enough there if you're the right guy for the job. That is, if you've understood what you're doing in the market, and you know who you are on the market, that means what your techniques are, what you're looking for, the part of the river that you understand. And if your psychology is somewhat clean, that you're not operating on urges from junior high school in placing positions, you have a very, very good chance of consistently making money in the market. So, and that's the goal, is to get to that level where you can consistently make money in the market. There are periods in the market where no matter what system you're using, it won't really apply to that market. The market is in the business of servicing every different type of investor, investments plan, scheme. It really, literally, you could come up with any kind of program you wanted to. As an example, you could say, every time Jupiter is in Aries, I'm going to, and a big news event just occurred on TV, and the sun is in the, you know, west at 16 degrees, I'm going to buy the market for a three-point advance. And I'm telling you that under over a period of time, the market will service that particular setup. It's in the business sort of like a Lazy Susan, which is that thing on your kitchen counter that has all the little condiments and it spins around. It will spin around and it will treat every single investor to the potential rewards, no matter what your technique is. It really doesn't matter what you're doing in the market, whether you're buying when the market gets above a moving average, it doesn't matter how complicated your technique is, the market's going to service that investor at some point. So it's in the business of servicing all kinds, this is a kind of unusual way of looking at it, it's in the business of servicing many, many different types of investors. In fact, every investor is going to be serviced in the market. Now, what that means is, and the reason I'm bringing that point up, is that that means every methodology is going to have its chance to operate. Even the weirdest ones, the strangest ones, but the weirder they are, perhaps, the less amount of time the market's going to spend servicing those. So having said that, this means that whatever your technique is, however you trade in the market, at some point it's going to be very easy for you to make trades because the market is servicing your type of approach. And then at other times, the market isn't going to be servicing that type of approach as well. And you have to be alert as a trader to understand that the kind of market that you normally look for has changed, and this is why it's important to have more than one tool in your tool belt. That means more than one approach, because the market will change. That's a given. And when it does, you either have to stop trading for a while or trade with some more losses or have a different tool that applies to this other type of market condition. So in my particular case, over many years of doing this, I've got probably four or five different tools in my tool belt, and I first have to identify the market that I'm in, what it's doing, and which tool applies for this market. And that's another skill that you pick up over time. It's nothing you have to worry about. It's just that you will naturally accumulate different approaches, and you'll be able to wait for the market to service that type of an approach. And you'll be wise enough to not try to trade in the market when it's not servicing that particular approach. You'll wait, and you'll try something else, or you simply won't trade at all. and that's fine, because to not trade and to not lose money is effectively a trade. It's you deciding to not participate is just as much a trade as deciding to participate. It just has no action instead of action. But the results are that you probably are saving yourself money because it isn't the kind of market that you're comfortable in. So don't be too anxious and or over anxious to trade if the market's not showing you the kind of behavior that you normally trade in. Simply don't trade, or begin to develop your second tool for your tool belt. And over time, you'll have a number of things in your tool belt that help you trade in a number of different market conditions. So go ahead, Michael. If there's anything you want to add to that or subtract from it.
No. No, I agree. I agree completely. You have to be able to evolve with the markets.
Yes.
Because the markets are constantly evolving. And so having something, I don't want to say something that you can optimize, but something that having more than one thing that works in different kinds of markets. I mean, like right now we have relatively flat markets. Most of the activity is in the pre-market. Most of the activity is in the pre-market. And hang on, let me put a stop on that thing. All right. Most of the activity is going on in the pre-market right now. So you have to, you know, either trade something else. That's referring to the ES, by the way. So you have to trade something else where the activity is going on when you're able to trade, or don't trade at all. Knowing when not to trade is just as important as knowing when to trade.
Exactly.
And I think that's definitely worth going over. I just put on a short there. You guys may or may not have seen that. I just shorted 33.68 right there. And
that's in the euro?
The euro, yes.
So euro short now?
I am euro, yes.
And just want to double check.
And euro have the opportunity to be short, or you had the opportunity to be short with me. Now,
all right, well,
the opportunity is almost lost, but we'll see. What I'm expecting this to do at this point, we came off resistance up here, and this is a weekly trading zone up here as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just printed the first support dot down there at 33.61. Okay, so I expect it'll probably get down. It went down to 33.62 already. So you know what? I'm gonna. Oops, I meant to bring my stop to break even on it, just to manage the risk, because it's possible here that that this may be the low. All right, so I'm going to let it run on the downside, and I don't have any risk on the upside. I'm going to take that off of there so I can actually watch the thing happen. One of the listeners or attendees asked a question for you, David. He wanted to know, Michael wanted to know, if could you also buy a put option in that area?
I didn't quite get the question. Please ask that again if you did.
Okay. Could you also buy a put option in that area? And I think what he's referring to is the November 6th top that you were talking about.
November 6th.
In the gold.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My mistake. Let me switch over to that real quick with you.
Okay.
Yes. You know, I'm going to refer him to, and I know this is something that Bert is more of an expert at than I am. It's a good question, and the options have a really good thing about them, which is that the risk is limited automatically by the nature of how options work. The person that I'm talking about is Bert from Daniels Trading, and I'm going to give out his phone number right now, which is 866-928-3310. Why would you call Bert? First of all, Bert is a broker. He's a licensed broker for Daniels Trading. A bunch of really nice people over at Daniels Trading, all of them, everyone that I've spoken to has been really good. Bert is someone who understands not only our methodology, but he also understands Michael's methodology, so he can trade on your behalf. He can also, for free, he will get on the phone and help you place or position yourself with a put option. Just a suggestion he'll make perhaps for gold or whatever, he'll take a look at with you. And that's very nice of him to do, number one. And number two, he's busy just like we all are, but he'll get on the phone with you. And what was the questioner's name, Michael?
His name was Michael.
Michael, okay. So, Michael, if you would give Bert a call. I could give you a number or an option, but I think Bert really has the expertise in it, and I don't like to give out halfway stuff, so I'd rather have him, 866-928-3310. Bert Schlichter is his name over at Daniels Trading. Again, he knows Michael Bork's methodology. He's very familiar with our methodology. He has customers of ours that he's trading on their behalf for them, and he does know how to place options. So give him a call. I think he'll be very happy to help you with the idea that if we get the confirmation on December 6th, which would get our signals to turn down, so to speak, so that because we have a daily top, you could probably make some money on the short side. Just between you and I, Michael, the questioner, my preference in this market, I am bullish. I'm more bullish than bearish in the gold because we have a forecast for it to continue to higher prices. I actually prefer to trade it in the futures market. This is just a personal preference. It doesn't mean that options won't work. But I would be very careful on the short side of this market until it starts to confirm for bigger moves down. Now, we've had some pretty decent swings down, but if you do take a look at the gold market, you'll notice that we had a run just recently from July 28th, a bottom on July 28th, virtually nonstop all the way through October 14th with almost no pullbacks at all. So that type of a run can come and it can go on and on and on. So we want to be careful, and there's nothing wrong with options. My preference, because we're talking about it, would probably be to trade short in gold, put a few contracts on, and peel them off as the market continues to reach nominal support targets on the downside. So, talk to Bert. He'll probably have some good ideas. One great thing about options, I just want to say this, is that they're limited in their risk. If you purchase an option, that's all you can lose. Whatever the price of the option is all you can lose. We don't intend on losing all of that. Typically, if you trade in an option, like purchasing an option to have it increase in value when the market goes down, your option increases, you might have to roughly consider that you're going to lose half of that if you're wrong. It usually doesn't work out that bad, but sometimes it does. But let's say the option is $800 and you lose $400 on it. Well, that's what happens. But if you're right about the move, very often those options will go up 100%, 200%, or 300% in value. So the whole risk and reward, again, are tied together, aren't they? Because your risk was $400 in that case, but your reward could be $1,600 if the market does move down. So I hope that helps Michael, the questioner, and maybe he can talk to Bert, see if he can give him a little bit of help with that.
Okay, and there was one other one for you, David.
From Doc, I don't know what one-hour Martinizing is. I know what his question is. I've seen the signs. I don't know what it is. It's going to be my deathbed question. I'll be dying, and people will be looking at me, and they'll see my lips moving. They'll say, well, is he speaking? What's he saying? And they'll listen, and then they'll say, he asked what one-hour Martinizing was. Anyway, I don't know either. I've been driving around in California and in Las Vegas, and I see signs, one-hour Martinizing. To this day, I'm 53 years old. I have no idea why I would bring something to someone who's going to Martinize something that I bring to him. I don't know what that is. And when I die, that's going to be my last question. All right, that's not Doc's real question. I want
no,
to hear Doc's
his real question was, hi, David. Is this a good area to sell my gold options? That was his question.
Is this a good area to sell, what was that?
Sell my gold options. Now, I'm assuming he doesn't mean...
he must mean long, perhaps?
I think he already is long. I think he's already long probably some calls. And
that's a tough question, Doc. Let me answer it in the best way that I can. First of all, I don't know what your trading outlook is. When you say you're long, were you long from, and I know this is probably not the case, but I'll make it a ridiculous, 5 years ago? Are you long from 7 days ago? Are you long from this morning? Part of that plays into my answer to your question. And how much of a position do you have on? We are forecasting that gold's going to continue up into January to mid-January when a more important reversal is going to take place. So even if we have a daily top that would come in on December 6th, then that would not preclude the market from having, you know, a reaction on the downside and then a continued advance even to new highs. So I'm not sure I want to answer the question because I don't know enough about where he is in this position. If he wants to, he can type that in, and I'll do the best I can. And by the way, I cannot give individual investment advice, but I can give you general investment advice that would be true for everybody and based on our outlook for gold. So I'd be very happy to do that.
Okay.
Things for him to consider. So
let me read his responses. He said he's long. Yes, I think that means he's long calls. He's been long calls for about 2 weeks, and he's looking to swing it.
See, I like this guy already. He's long for 2 weeks. Let's go back 2 weeks. There you go. Let's just take a look. This is what you call a really good trade. If he's long for 2 weeks, that brings us back to the week of November 6th.
Oops, wait a minute. Sorry. I'm on the wrong thing here. Let's go to gold.
No, that's beautiful. If he's long for the last 2 weeks, he's got a very good position on. He purchased call options, and the market's moved higher.
2 weeks. 2 weeks would put us right about in the middle, right? Right near the low over here somewhere.
Yes.
17th, 18th.
Yeah, 17th, 18th, and that's when we were calling for the bottom, and he's done very well, hopefully, with that position. I'll tell you something. The way that I trade, this is so that I don't give Doc absolutely specific advice, which I'm not legally able to do. But let me answer it in another broader sense. When I'm in a market and I happen to be in a good position, which Doc happens to be in just a wonderful position here. This is the setup here. If he took it off that bottom, the market has moved up dramatically. He's had a really good run here. We're now one day away from the next important daily top. I am a big fan of getting, this is just me, I'm a big fan of getting out of my position in small amounts on the way up at critical price levels where the market might turn. At this point, the market's already hit all those critical price levels. We're almost hitting an important level, 1410. We're very close to that today. But my point is that now that we've come up and we're one day early on the daily top, I like the idea of exiting some positions and holding a remaining amount if he has more than one position, holding that for the possibility into Monday or Tuesday that the market actually just continues and breaks out and he's just in a wild runaway market, which could occur. We're not forecasting that, but that's just the idea that the trading could, he could have a breakout here. So I like the idea of booking some of gains here, and I like the idea of holding a remaining position if he has multiple positions, holding the smallest amount of his remaining position for the final potential for a breakout on the upside here. That's what I like, and that is a beautiful position. Good Lord. We talked about back on the 17th of it being a bottom. And, boy, if he was operating off of our advice, I'd feel better than all of the guests combined on the show. I would have the best feeling because here's a guy that potentially took that information and put on a nice position. And if he didn't use that information, he's in a wonderful position based on his own trading. And that's a great call. You have to remember, when you look at something like this, you're looking at the daily chart, you remember there's human beings behind these trades. And what that means is that human being has to get up, put the position on, spend his day, see his wife and kids, eat dinner, go to bed. Then the next day the market opens up on the 18th, it goes up higher. He has to do that same thing. He has to do that, and keep doing that. And then as an example, on the 26th of November, the market pulled back, looked a little scary, then it firmed up at the end of the day. He has to go to bed. He has to live with himself in his life context, in his situation, day by day, to be able to hold a position this long. I'm telling you, that's not easy to do. Either it's not easy to do or you're naturally acclimated to doing that. For most people, it's not easy to do. So he sat through quite a bit in order to be in the position today where he could say that, you know, he's got a position during about that December 6th top. So that's if we need we need two more things. We need cans throwing against the wall where they drop so we can actually show people that we're just like they are when we get out of a trade and we're not happy about it. We can throw those cans. We also need a congratulatory thing. So when somebody's in a really good trade, That's just a wonderful trade. That's exactly that's the Mona Lisa trade right there. That's what I call a Mona Lisa trade.
he said, "Thanks, David. Super response." There was another question from Robin. Robin says, "David, what is the current position with yesterday's market top? What target are you looking at?" I think she's referring to the ES.
The daily S&P in our Messenger Pro product, we have a turning point calendar which had forecast that December 2nd would be the next important daily market top. And so today's market decline is the earliest confirmation that that top is in place. On the ordinary S&P, not the electronic, not the Globex, just the ordinary S&P 500, yesterday was the top. If you tie in the Globex, then it came one day late because last night they went up to our 27 target, which is in the support and resistance panel, and then reversed off that. So I think she's asking maybe I didn't get the question right, but is she asking, are we still in belief that the top is occurring? If that's the question, then the answer is yes, we are. If there's a different question that I'm missing, read it to me one more time, Michael.
All right, one more time. It was, what is the current position with yesterday's market top? What target are you looking at?
Okay, so she means what target are we looking at on the downside. You know what? We have not published a downside target, published meaning in our system. We've not come out yet with a downside target off this. Normally, though, let me answer you this. Normally, once a daily top is put in, there's a multi-day decline off of that top, off of a daily top, and it's very obvious visually to people who are looking at a chart. Anybody could look at the chart visually and say, well, here's a top. Let's just say it's December 2nd. And then you see many, many days of sideways to lower prices coming off that top. It's easy to see. So we would look for a multi-day decline. Even if we retest the highs, it doesn't matter. We're still looking for sideways to lower for several days. This would take us into next week. Quite often... I'd love to, I'm very tempted on her behalf because I like the question to give her, give me just 1 minute here. People know this, and I've said this before, I don't like to give away, I'll give out halfway information and sort of just, do that sort of thing. And so I don't know that I can do anything for her here. We will have, let's say this, we probably will have targets on the downside. Let me give you some numbers, though, that are important for the nearby term, because we can certainly do that. They're from our support and resistance panel. Today, 16 on the downside is one of the numbers. Let's see, let's go deeper into it. 15 to 14 is important, and then after that, 10. These are relatively close by targets, but the market's in a compressed uptrend, and so these targets will be important. As places to reverse, which would be to buy for futures trading, and also as targets to trade to should these levels get broken. So as an example, if 1215 were to be broken, 1214, then you would want to trade down to the 1210 target. So those are two levels that would be easily achievable on a multi-day decline, obviously, from the highs that we just made. Under better conditions, when we have a daily roadmap, we'll be able to say, and this is maybe what she was asking about, we would be able to say the top is going to occur on December 2nd, and we're looking for a 26-point decline off the then-current high. We're not in a position to do that just yet with this particular top, the December 2nd top. So I hope that's helpful. I throw a lot of words out there, and you guys have to figure out what I really mean by all this stuff, but we don't have a target. Here's what it means. We don't have a target on the downside. And right now, other than our normal support and resistance targets, but we do look for a multi-day test and reaction and or decline off of the December 2nd top. Okay, this advance, I just want to mention one other thing, Michael. The advance that we just had was very powerful because it was based off of the weekly bottom. We had talked about at one point that if the market tested 1070 or 1171, that would indicate a weekly bottom. And because weekly is a big time frame, that means there's a lot of power inside the time frame. Weekly is more powerful than daily. Daily is more powerful than hourly. So that's the reason the market is up so powerfully, is because there really was a weekly bottom just put in because they did touch 71 on the downside. We had originally called for a November 1st weekly top and then a 36-point minimum decline. That would take us to 1188. The market then got down to as low as 71. That 71 triggered a weekly bottom, and this advance is expressing the power that you would see off of a larger time frame bottom such as weekly. That's why it's so powerful. We'll see how they handle this over the next day. We have the weekend coming up here, and I think it will be important, Michael, for all of us to talk about this area again on Monday for sure, because we'll see what happens over the weekend with regard to news and everything else. But normally the cycle would call the market to turn here. We're in the one-day late period right now. So as long as we close the day today below 11 or 1225, then that further confirms the top, and we further look for downside reaction. So I hope that helps the lady's question, and I very much appreciate hearing from people and answering questions as best I can.
Okay.
Well, there we are.
Wow. That was a lot of information.
That's a lot of information. That's why I say sometimes I close my mouth and I think to myself, did I just wreck everything? Did I just take a simple question and just, you know, it's like, I don't know. I picture, you know, I wonder sometimes we, you know, Michael's in his place. Are you in Philadelphia? Where are you, Michael?
I'm Boston.
Pittsburgh? Boston. Boston. Okay. And I'm in Las Vegas. So we're all in very, very different places. And when people talk, you get a mental picture sometimes of where they are, what they look like, where they're sitting, and stuff like this. I picture Michael Bork in kind of a homemade UFO type of spaceship. I don't know why, but I picture him in kind of a UFO kind of setup in his backyard. His wife's in the house, you know, cooking and cleaning and stuff, and he's got this whole UFO thing back there with his indicators and everything else, and he's in there doing the radio program. I'd like to know what people think where I am, because that's my picture of Michael Bork.
No, I am not in a spaceship.
I know, Michael,
again,
but that's how I think about it.
No, I don't know how anyone pictures me, actually.
I don't know either, but I'm worrying that some people are going to type in and say, well, David, I'm glad you asked. I picture you in the Clark County Detention Center. You know, in some little room, you know, I've been arrested on some, you know, picked up in a police sweep or something. And
using your 20 minutes to
just feel better about life in general. I'm on the phone, you know, the prisoners have all quieted down in that little holding cell so I can do the program. Anyway, you know, these are the kinds of things that go through my mind throughout the day. That's who you're dealing with here. So we try to keep the show lively, don't we, Mike? I mean, especially when Dwayne's not here. I mean, his sense of humor is superb. You know, he keeps us rolling in the aisles all day.
All right. That said, I'm going to get ready to put on another trade here. I'm just trying to That last trade that I had put on, I went flat on. It got break even. I drew in the actual entry and exit. I entered right there. Went down here. It was pretty much down to the target area once it started printing these support dots. That's why I moved my stop up to break even, and it got me out of break even. This trade right here, you see we're printing support dots right here, so I'm not going to take anything right here. Unless we get a close below those support dots on this bar, that would work too. So I'm just waiting to see what this bar is going to do. All right.
You know, Dwayne's not here. If we have a minute, do you have a minute, Michael, or you want to put this trade on? I was going to mention one other thing.
You know what?
I can save it. I can save it until.
No. You mentioned something, so I gotta go do something really quick, and I'll be right back. So go right ahead, and I'll be back.
This is only because Dwayne's not here. I just want to ask the listeners, and I don't have a way of answering right now because I don't have the, you know, the questions don't come into me directly. This is just a little silly thought, but. Has anybody listened to the song at the end of the radio broadcast? There's a guy strumming a guitar, and it's probably the worst example of somebody singing, A, playing guitar, B, and C, writing a song. I don't know how Dwayne selected that song, and I think it would be fun to ask him maybe on Monday if any of you stay long enough to go through the whole piece and listen to the end of the broadcast. I think it's either at the start of the broadcast or at the end. I can't remember, but it's pretty bad. And I don't know what Dwayne was thinking when he put that thing on there. So it makes me question Dwayne even more than I have already. I'm just stream of consciousness here, but this is just between you and I. you, the listener, and me, with no one else on here. Dwayne isn't here. Bert isn't here. It's just us. We can express our opinions honestly. I think that song is the worst piece of music I've ever heard in my life. I'm 53. That's saying quite a bit. That includes rap music. This is like a really, really bizarre piece of music. Now, if Dwayne heard me say that, he probably would be upset, or maybe he would take it lightly. I don't know. But maybe at the end of the broadcast, and if some of you have some time today, just for fun, stay on and listen to that song. And I'd like to hear from you next week to see what, you know, what type it in, and you can say, I listened to it and I agree, or I listened to it. And then we'll hit Dwayne with it, and we'll just say, Dwayne, seriously, I mean, you had to really look for that piece of music, because that stuff that bad isn't out there, that readily available. Anyway, see, there's a lot going on with me today. Now, I do want to say that a couple things about the markets. Michael, do you need to grab something here because of the trade?
Nope, I'm back, and I'm not going to take this trade because it's going right into support.
Okay. Did you just run around the block and go to 7-Eleven or something? You sound.
I actually did.
Okay.
I actually did just.
All right. Okay. Let me throw something in here for people who may want to do this. This is a really, really quiet market today. Earlier today, we put in on the second 30-minute bar of today, if you want to put a 30-minute bar up, second 30-minute bar of the day, we put in a 30-minute reflected wave bottom. That's a timing technique that we are going to teach later on. That bottom has held, and even though it's a very, very quiet market, there's a possibility, since we've already had the bounce, that the market may want to go lower here. But under these conditions that we're in right now, the market is moving so slowly that in spite of any trading indications, it may be best at this point just to stand aside, because you will have to wait for quite a number of potentially hours just to make a couple of points out of this consolidation market. So if we were to drop a little bit lower in this hour or the next hour, if we got down to any of the lower prices, like attempting the 1210 that we talked about earlier, that type of thing, that would trigger a larger time frame bottom. And one of the things in my trading that has tremendously made a difference for me is using timing along with proper price levels to initiate trades, to find a trade, and then to initiate a trade off of that. That means that the timing portion is telling you that, so to speak, time has run out on the downside for that time frame. Maybe it's a 30-minute, maybe it's a 60-minute, whatever it is. And that since the time cycle has turned, we're now looking for an important price level to be reached. And here's the principle. I think it's worth writing this down. It took me many, many years to be able to just say these words. They may sound simple, and they do sound simple, but they're actually quite a bit deeper when you take some time to think about them. Here it is. Important turning points occur at important prices. And, reverse it, important prices occur at important turning points. I won't take a trade if there's a turning point that occurs without an important price level also being reached. Because the principle is so powerful, the two run together almost all the time. I won't take a trade if there is a price level that's reached without an important timing point having occurred there. So either way, however, which angle you want to look at it, either important prices will occur at important turning points or important turning points will occur at important prices. Take a few minutes and think about that. It's no play on words. It's really a true principle in the market. And so for today, just as an example, if you'll put up a 30-minute chart, the listeners can do this on their own, of the S&P, the E-mini 500, the second bar of today was the on-time bar for a 30-minute bottom. Now, the principle is that an important turn will occur at an important price. The important price was 1216. This is identified in our support and resistance panel. And the turn was identified by the 30-minute reflected wave bottom. So we have two dimensions of the market coming together. It's very powerful just with the two alone, where you can get a bounce and a usable trade out of that. And we did. We moved up from 1216 up to 1220. It's a small range day, but that identifies most of the range of the day just right there, just that move up. We have an approximate 5-point range. So think about that idea. Important turns occur at important prices, and important prices occur at important turns. This will help you. It's not a play on words. It's a truth about how the markets work, and quite a bit of our work relies on that principle as a backdrop to the more precise things that we might be doing to try to tie a trade together, et cetera. So I hope that's helpful. I always like to give out something that's useful or for people to think about with regard to their trading. And remember, and Michael, I'll have to run here shortly, but I just want to say this last thing. I've been doing this myself now for, since 1990, and I used to joke with people that, you know, when they say, well, how do you like trading, or what is trading? And I would say, well, it's the most interesting way I've ever found to lose a lot of money. And I would laugh about that. One of the most fascinating ways to lose a lot of money. You know, you can lose a lot of money in a lot of different ways, but this is really a fascinating way to lose a lot of money. And
it's a real hands-on way of...
It's a really beautiful hands-on way to lose a lot of money. And I did lose a lot of money. That's why it was a joke, and I was able to, you know, sort of laugh it off. It's no fun, obviously, to lose a lot of money. But many, many, many things that I did were very foolish things that we talk about on this radio program. And over time, you sober up, so to speak, over time with regard to markets. You sober up with regard to your expectations about who you are in the markets, and you stop, you know, you stop paying so much attention to what other people say they do in the markets and how much money they make and, you know, what the pros are doing. And you start really focusing in a much more deeper way on who you are in the market, because I don't care and you don't care who the other people are, what they know, how successful they've been or how unsuccessful they've been, where their struggles have been. You can learn from that, where their struggles haven't been. Ultimately, though, all that information that you pick up from the outside in books, in tapes, in seminars, even from listening to people like us on this radio program, it all comes to a point where none of it does you any good until you start to find out who you are in the market. And that's your next step if you're not at that point now. You've accumulated enough, you've amassed enough knowledge. Now we have to paint the barn. We've got the paint, we've got the paintbrushes, we have the barn, we've done all that. Now you have to paint the barn. You have to pick up the brush and actually discover for yourself who it is that you are in the market. And that simply means, how does all that information come together in you? What parts of that information work for you? What parts excite you? What parts seem to just look right for you in the market? What part of the river are you comfortable with, the river being the movement of market, where your indicators are here and the market's there and all the things that need to set up for you? Once you've got that in intact, once you've found out at least a little bit about who you are, that's the part you want to start watering. You want to take the water and water that part every day, rather than worrying about what other people are doing and worrying about what other people's successes are or whatever, because by watering where you are now, you can grow into the kind of trader that you were supposed to be or you are potentially able to be. And that's 10,000 times better than getting excited or depressed over anything that anybody else is doing. So I really, really want to impress upon people the value of understanding that there's a time and a place to accumulate knowledge about the markets. There's a time and a place to accumulate the kinds of trading setups and indicators and things that you like to use. And then you can do no more. You have to now grow into who you are going to be in the market and really put that together. I hope that makes sense. It's not a pop psychology thing. Everybody gets to that point no matter what career they're in. They figure out who they are in that particular field. It's not just true of the markets. But once you get a handle on that and say, yeah, that's what I'm developing, that's what we want to water from now on. You want to pick up the watering can and water that part of us that is attempting to go in that direction, the direction of finding out who you are on the markets, and to hell with everybody else and what they're doing. All the things that you paid attention to initially that got you excited or this or that or the other, those tend to fade away, and you start to really follow your own path. People can't light your fire. They can give you enthusiasm, they can give you encouragement, but ultimately you have to be a light unto yourself with this work, with anything in life. And once you have lit that light, then you have that direction, your inner compass starts to work better, and you really start to put the kind of the trades together that are meaningful to the only person that it really matters to, which is you. And that includes management of risk and everything else. And before you know it, you are trading and you're excited about getting up and doing it, you're loving doing it. Even if you have a day where you make, where you don't make money or you lose money, you understand in the bigger picture that you know what you're looking for you're happy about that, and you're waiting for that next setup to take advantage of. And life is good at that point. So let's go beyond book knowledge. Let's work at finding out who we are, putting it all together, rather than staying at the level of the plateau of experience. We want to go beyond that, and we want to now be encouraged by our own growth in who we are in the market. And so with that, Michael, I want to thank you for having me on the program today. And
of course. I sent you, David, I sent you a couple of texts in the chat area there. If you can look in your chat area. I sent them to you.
Is the chat area on Messenger Pro or in your...
Where the webinar software comes up.
Oh, I see. Let me
go to the bottom of that little window
here.
Down there.
David, the response is, Johnny, help. Johnny, help.
That's good.
Come on, Bert. You can say it. Hey, Mike.
Okay, some responses. Robin is a hammer. Okay. So, Michael B., do you want me to read this out loud?
No, you don't have to read any of that out loud.
Okay.
It was just informational stuff for you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, no, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. We have Bert from Daniel's Trading on with us, Bert Schlechter from Daniel's Trading. And this is the fellow that we talked about earlier about possibly if you're interested in options. I think Doc might have been talking about that, maybe to give him a call and have him put an options, give him some help with his options trade, Bert, with
gold.
Yeah,
no problem. No sweat.
And with that, listen, I need to get moving along, too. I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend, some different activities and things that could come into your life, and then we'll get back together on markets on Monday. Michael, have a great weekend in that weird little spaceship thing you've got in your backyard, whatever the hell that thing is, little silver foiled thing that you're in, and then your wife says, honey, dinner's on, you know, okay, I'll be out in a minute. I'll plan on talking with you. No, it's been great fun, and I'll plan on talking with you on Monday, all of you.
So, yep, no
all right.
Hey, have a great weekend. Hey, David, nice short scalp in the soybeans this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and it's just the little trades. It's those little trades that make a difference.
It's sound like a Hallmark card.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. That's a great one for a Hallmark card. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad it worked out, and I plan on talking with you guys on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
Take care, dear.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Mike, and I was thinking, let everyone know that Monday, I'm live. Monday, March currencies will trade the lead month. Okay.
March currencies will trade the lead month on Monday.
Right.
So,
okay, so the rollover process will be Monday.
Yep.
So.
Hey, guys.
Everyone heard that.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey. You're back.
Yeah. Well, no. See, I'm in the process of getting gone. I knew it was going to take a while because I had to clean up. And first, you got to build a fire to heat the water, to take the shower.
Ah.
You know, so anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just out the door.
Okay.
But I did pop in a couple times. You and David had a great conversation.
Yes.
Did?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did. We had a good conversation.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave everything running. I just want to close out the podcast real quick. So, Bert, don't run off.
Okay.
Continue
I
chatting
won't.
Here with Michael.
I got a little downtime here.
Yeah, okay. And I will talk to you both over the weekend, or I will see you Monday, I guess.
All
right. Did David give any downside target on what was the final say-so on the daily market top?
The daily market top, 25.26, I think, is what he was thinking.
Okay, Bert, are you going to swing this to the
short
side?
I can do it if you want. Like a roadmap type?
Yeah.
If he comes out with a roadmap, I can do it that way.
Do we make any money on the beans today?
It's like $50.
Okay, well, yeah.
You know, what I'm going to do is we're going to move the entry to... When we go forward, I'm not going to use the faded entry because a lot of times it seems like it's tapping the actual price.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the actual price and use an MIT to try to increase that profit. Okay?
Okay.
So it's just my observation. It seems to hit the price a lot of times.
Okay. Now, as far as the weekly trading zones go, if we close above 1314 today,
mm-hmm.
That's hugely bullish because that's outside of the zones, and it's just a very rare occurrence that happens. If, going into the close, we get back below the 1314 inside of the zones, then, boy, we could walk in Monday morning to a market that is trading substantially lower. Did David give any target as to if he's looking for 10 points, 20 points, 100 points?
I missed it. Yeah, I didn't hear him give a target like that, 10, 20, or 100.
And Dwayne, he doesn't have anything on the Messenger Pro either, so unless he messages, unless he gives something out.
Okay.
My gut feeling is if it's something that what my work is saying, we're going to see probably 1201, kind of like what I wrote on the blog. You know, we'll see 1201, 1202, 1200 right in that area. That will shake everyone up.
Okay. All right, well, feel free to pull the trigger in my absence, and you guys both have a great weekend. Let me close the podcast, and then the two of you can just continue chatting, okay?
Okay.
All right, to everyone else out there in Radio Land and Webinar Land, thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.
Well, that's the first time I really heard that.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. Living.